much about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
In the radio studios of America, the technicians, the entertainers, the commentators, the administrative personnel daily unite their efforts in the creation of programs to please and entertain the vast radio public.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The wide variety of broadcasts include group discussions, political speeches, sports, drama, and comedy. These are the programs that America listens to.
And now,
dumb. Mm-hmm. Super dumb, right?
The dumbest.
Our feature presentation.
That could be the new slogan for the Kevin and Bean Show.
So you were basically letting people know what they should be getting.
That's right.
And then what they are. Okay.
That's right. Smart. Competent radio stations provide all of those things for the listeners. We're just the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, so don't expect any of the good stuff. Hey, party people, welcome in to yet another all-new show. Today is Monday. It is already the 16th of Blowember. How was the weekend, ladies?
Blowy.
Yeah. What's up with the wind and whatnot? Qualifies as weather for you.
Yeah. We've got some Santa Anas today.
Right. Are we all going to die tonight, or is it okay?
No rain predicted.
Yeah.
A warm-up, if you will. Should be by the 80s midweek.
Oh, good. I was missing the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while.
The 80s is what you want as you head into Thanksgiving week. That's what you're looking at. That puts you in the spirit for the holidays. So, anyway, now that football's over, I'm excited that I'll have a lot more free time in my life.
Nope.
To worry about.
Actually, it's
really
going
I thought everybody's season was over.
Well, yours is. But
now that I don't have to worry about the playoffs, I just feel like just a weight has been lifted off my shoulders because there was all that tension wondering if the team was going to rally to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now I know that there's no plans at all to be playing again in January, so I feel like I feel light and fluffy today.
Welcome to being a Dolphins fan.
Oh, Chip.
20 years of 16 weeks of football.
Excellent.
I guess. Speaking of sports, this was a big, big weekend. Saturday night, UFC 193. We have such a very busy show today. I don't know that we'll get a chance to talk about this much later. But look, it's easy to say after the fact, well, I knew Holly was going to be an amazing competitor, but nobody expected a beatdown like that. I mean, I looked at it going in like this was her Rocky. This was going to be Holly Holm's Rocky movie, the first movie, which is you're going to lose, but you're going to fight well enough that you'll gain respect and recognition around the world.
Yeah, people would be like, that was her toughest competitor. Way to go, Holly. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was expecting because Holly Holm was no joke. I mean, when we had her in a few weeks ago, I spent a lot of time researching and watching her fights, and she is incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's a championship boxer. But, I mean, that leg kick, I saw her take so many ladies down with that leg kick, and I thought, I don't know how you protect against that because it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She can get – who can kick you in the back of the head and you can't do anything about it? I mean, think about that for a second. You get kicked in the back of the head while you're standing in front of somebody. That's pretty tough to defend.
I can't even tell you what I saw. I don't even know how many times we rewound that. We're like, what? It was pure – I don't know where you watched it, but where I was, it was silence. Nobody understood what happened. Then shock, then, dude, rewind it. What? It was insane.
At Omar's house, it was just screaming. Everyone just like, what the hell did we just see? Like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Rhonda, from the second the fight started, though, looked out of breath, first of all, right? And disoriented.
Yeah.
And like she didn't have any kind of a plan. I mean, she looked like if I got mugged, I feel like I would just be swinging wildly, just trying to do anything. Like never having given it any pre-thought as to how I was going to defend myself. It was hard to believe we were looking at the most dominant MMA fighter of all time who looked like it was her first fight.
Did you see any of the weigh-in where they did the stare down, everything? Yeah. Something was so off at that that I said to my friend, I'm like, well, Rhonda, that's not really her. It seemed kind of so normal going into this fight, but normal I shouldn't say normal, because this felt like a very different fight. There was no smack talking. There was none of that. And I thought, well, this is a strange time to start that game up.
Yeah. Yeah. For folks who didn't see, what Ali's talking about is Holly Holm accidentally touched Ronda Rousey's face when they do that lean in where they get real close for the photo at the weigh-in, right? Mm-hmm. And Ronda, you think, would just brush it off or play the part of a champion.
Right.
Be somebody who's been at a weigh-in before and intimidate your challenger back. And instead, it's like she fell apart.
Yeah.
It's like it was the most offensive thing that had ever happened to her, is that she got accidentally touched in the face, and she started screaming and talking about how, you know, Holly Holm was just an act, about how she was so sweet and I'm going to beat her down, and on and on and on. And then Saturday night she comes out, she won't even touch gloves.
Yeah.
I was thinking, there was something going on in Ronda's head. She was not right and ready for this fight.
It was ugly. It was ugly. Real ugly.
Yeah. So what? So she, and by the way, I'm sure you were, as we were, very disappointed to see no post-fight interview. I mean, I would love to have seen what was on her, you know, going through her mind at that time. But apparently they took her to the hospital.
Yeah.
And that may be part of the reason, is they went and checked her out. I mean, that kick to the head, Ronda Rousey just fell to the ground and then hit her head again when it hit the mat.
Right.
I mean, she was unconscious. She was out cold.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. So what happens now? There are rumors of UFC 200 is when the rematches might be? Is that what
you're talking about? Dana had said, obviously, a rematch would be great, but it's very interesting because then all the people start on social media with, she doesn't deserve a rematch. Yes, she does. What are you talking about?
Yeah, she defended her title eight times or something, right? Will Holly Holm have to fight somebody else, or before Ronda Rousey, or will that just be the next fight? Because I would think
in the grand scheme of things, it should just be the next fight. But if I'm Holly Holm, I'm going to say, let's do this. Yeah. I'll take whoever at this point. She's got to be feeling confident.
I would think so. Well, it was really nice to meet Holly Holm when she was in here, and she definitely had a quiet confidence about her.
Yeah, she did.
And she definitely had a game plan. And she said in her post-fight interview, you know, she's never trained for anything harder in her life. I mean, she was training up to 5 times a day, and it paid off because she looked like she was, you know, prepared for any scenario and didn't have to use most of what she learned heading into that fight, because Ronda just gave up early. So that was unbelievable. I mean, it was, what did Joe Rogan say? Either the first or second greatest upset in the history of MMA.
Yeah, for sure.
So, should have put money on that.
Damn it.
16-1.
Was it 16-1?
Yeah.
Oh.
That would have been a payday, right?
Oh, man.
Well, congratulations to the UFC Bantamweight ladies champion, Holly Holm. It was a terrific, terrific fight. I mean, if you're Holly Holm, not so much if you're Ronda Rousey. All right, a brand new Kevin and Bean show. Let's see what's up.
No, you're not good.
Well, we're going to do our best. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We do every Monday. Also, Andrew Siciliano talking about that sport that you guys follow, the NFL. We got a real-life astronaut on the program today. I am so excited about this. He spent a year in space over his long career. He's been up on multiple missions. His name is Mike Foal, and he's part of a new Discovery Channel show called Secret Space Escapes, where they talk about bad things happening in space, like a fire breaks out in your ship, for instance. In his case, he had what do they call the ships that they send up with new supplies? Mm-hmm. It smashed into the side of the space station where he was in.
You
and
don't
did
want
all
that.
Sorts of damage. And he had to go outside and do a spacewalk to repair it for 6
God.
Hours. I know. I mean, it's real-life gravity stuff. And he is a tremendously smart and talented astronaut. Mike Foal joins us on the program in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm very excited about that. We got tickets, once again, to go see Creed, the movie, in Las Vegas.
What?
How about that? A trip for two to Las Vegas, including round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash, brought to you by Creed. We'll give you a chance to win that on the program today. Rachel Bloom is going to be here. She is the star of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW. We got an actor named, I'm not familiar with him, his name's Danny Craig. I think he's new.
He goes by Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
What would I know him from? What's he been in?
007.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Those little Bond movies. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Daniel Craig joins us on the program today. And at 7:30, all the details you need to know, everything about this year's K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. The day is finally here. We'll tell you who's playing. We'll tell you when. We'll tell you where. We'll tell you how to get your tickets. That's 7:30 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is back, too. Take our first look at the showbiz beat right after this on K-Rock. 7:30 this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All the details you need to know to attend K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. That is coming up. It is Monday morning. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Didn't we just do one of those last year?
We did, actually. It's a yearly thing. We do it every December.
How many times a year do we do these things?
This is the 26th year in a row that we have had an acoustic Christmas.
Not season. In a row.
Yes.
No.
Every year. That's right.
No.
Never.
We take some years off.
Look it up
before you start spouting stuff.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Look up
hey,
the facts.
How about a first look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday? What's going on with you?
What's going on with you? All right,
sure.
Then.
Okay.
Good. Good chat. I'm glad we spent some time together. You liked it. What'd you do for your birthday, Bean? Your birthday was over the weekend, wasn't it? Didn't you have a birthday over the weekend? Hey, yay. Hey, didn't you have a birthday over the weekend, Bean?
Technically, but you know, Ralph, I do not in any way celebrate or acknowledge my birthday. You know that. So it was just a day.
Sit down.
I don't believe in my birthday. As we have discussed.
I don't even know where to start with that.
Well, it's just...
It's really not for you to believe in or not. It's there. It's for real. It's the day you were born. It's in the anniversary of your birth.
I got away with it not happening at all, with the exception of my dad calling. That was the only thing that was reminding me that it was, in fact, that day. But he did call. And you can't talk old people into changing their habits. So I just had to be nice and talk to him about it.
He's like, yeah, you ruined your mother. He hung up. Was that the whole phone call?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. I feel like he's carried that grudge long enough,
no,
but he will not
so.
Let it go.
I don't blame him. Imagine 8-foot Bean.
Oh, no.
Wrecking.
Okay.
On the way out.
No.
I probably weighed about 150 pounds as a newborn.
Throwing elbows.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Yeah, it was just a nightmare for Mrs. Bean. Well, anyway, happy belated. And I'm sure Bean would love to hear from the K-Rock listeners.
No,
so feel free
I really
to Bean at krock.com. Send him a belated birthday message from over the weekend, or maybe tweet Bean.
Don't do any of those things.
At Clyde Tombaugh.
Come on.
You can tweet him out, happy birthday. He would like to roll around in your birthday love, I get
that
the
is
sense.
The opposite of what I prefer.
Yeah, that's what you say.
But thank you.
But
it's
your
true.
Eyes are like, please wish me a happy belated birthday. Deep down
no
inside.
Gifts, no cakes, no parties, no cards, no
send him all those things. Send him
I don't want any of those
parties
things.
And send him a party. Just show up with a van, a panel van to his house, and just jump out and have a party. He would like that. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from over the weekend. Spectre continues its stranglehold over the top 10 with, once again, dominating the weekend box office. $35.4 million made it number one yet again. Then the Peanuts movie inexplicably still at number two with $42.2 million. Love the Coopers. Ah, who doesn't love the Coopers? You know, a Cooper is a barrel maker.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I love me some barrel makers.
Huh.
May not be what this film's about, but in its debut, it made $8.4 million. Yeah. Here's the thing. Do we need more quirky families celebrating the holiday movies?
Every single holiday.
Nope.
I think they look at it as this is relatable to the audience. People are going to be looking for something to go see over the holidays with their family. Let's give them a family movie.
Right, but I'm pretty sure this exact film was the same film made 3 years in a row. I think they just take the same script and reshoot it with new people.
I don't doubt that at all.
The Martian was fourth. The 33 in its debut, $5.8 million. Goosebumps was sixth. Bridge of Spies. Premratan Dahpayo, of course.
What?
Was number eighth. I got nothing for you there.
What's that called? What's it called again?
Prem Ratan Dhan Payo.
Nope.
Got nothing.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Is that the... what language is that? Does it sound like to you?
P-R-E-M. Prem Ratan. R-A-T-A-N.
Got to be Indian, right?
Dhan. D-H-A-N. That makes me think Indian.
Uh-huh.
Payo. P-A-Y-O.
I think it's the Bollywood remake of...
Seven Sundays in May.
Oh, that's right. Seven Sundays in May in the Bollywood remake.
All right, here you go. Here's your thank you, Christine. A charitable, happy-go-lucky man embarks on a mission to meet a generous princess who helps people. There you go. Hmm. That's your Bollywood hit.
It is a Bollywood film.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
That's right.
$2.4 million in its debut. Hotel Transylvania 2, And then The Last Witch Hunter rounded out your top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Well, as you can tell, Kevin is not here today. It is because he is mourning the loss of Wicked City. Yes, ABC has canceled its show, Wicked City, starring Ed Westwick and Erica Christensen. Kevin, of course, thought it was going to be his big break in television. He did play the excitable DJ on that show, the crazy, wacky radio personality DJ with that manic style of Kevin's where he's just all over the place,
crazy,
bringing the excitement to the radio scenes. He thought it was his big shot, but it turns out that total viewership was not very strong for the show, and they're going to now put repeats of Shark Tank in its slot instead.
Do you want to hear a clip of Kevin's riveting radio work?
Well, I think it's a shame to let it go away just because the show was canceled, because his performance was, in the words of many critics, scintillating.
I got to tell you, I'm loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret environment.
Really just brings that to life. I wanted to see a show about that guy. Right. That's the star of that scene. Listen to the energy that he brings to...
I thought about playing the clip, but I thought, you know, it's too early for somebody to just be screaming at you over the
right?
radio. You know what I mean? I was like, who wants to wake up to that?
You're just, you get so energized and your adrenaline starts pumping. That guy, he brings it.
Man, that song is on fire. And now, here's Joan Jett of the Blackhearts, Crimson and Clover. This is for Betty B., and it's from her secret admirer.
Whoa, sit down. Whoa. Relax, you're going to blow a gasket, son. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, medically, that seems unsound.
No, his blood pressure must be through the roof.
That song is on fire. I cannot wait to see that live.
This guy got dosed. That DJ got dosed. Hey, bachelors, time to step up your game. Because Jennifer Lawrence is lonely. She tells Vogue magazine that she's lonely every Saturday night. And she says that guys she meets are flat out mean to me, she says. Who's mean to Jennifer Lawrence?
Didn't she
stop it?
Get out of a relationship with Chris Martin from Coldplay very recently? Weren't they a thing?
You should have brought that up in the interview last week. I don't know. I don't know what...
Doesn't seem like he's the type who would be mean to her.
She believes that the men she meets are trying to establish their dominance. Because, of course, she's a big-time movie star and they want to be the strong alpha in the relationship. But she says it just ends up hurting her feelings.
Oh.
So she needs a sweet man who's going to be nice to her and take care of her.
I would have no problem standing 6 feet behind Jennifer Lawrence and holding her purse while she did interviews if that's what she needed. Just be an eye candy.
Could you be 6 feet underground? Is that an option?
That would be her choice, I suppose.
I suppose. Today's celebrity birthdays from SNL. Pete Davidson's 22 years old today. Actress Maggie Gyllenhaal celebrates her 38th birthday. Funny actress Missy Pyle celebrates her 43rd. And Marg Helgenberger. Of course, we fell in love with her on CSI. And before that, China Beach, she's 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Speaking of the new song from Coldplay, we'll talk about them in a second. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday morning. Next hour, a trip for two to Las Vegas with round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash, brought to you by the new film Creed in theaters everywhere on November the 25th. Plus, we'll give you a chance to go see the movie ahead of its opening as well. Also, all the details on the 26th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. So, Friday, well, get the tragic news out of Paris? When did it get on your radar, what was happening over there?
Shortly after it happened, I saw something about a possible hostage situation in Paris. And I was like, what is happening over there? Turned on CNN, and it was just coming in fast and furious from that point on. But I hadn't heard before that about anything that happened in Paris at the cafes and at the other venues, the six or seven venues, other than just the Eagles of Death Metal concert that was happening.
There was
right
you know, as is always the case with those live situations, there's a lot of information, some of it erroneous, but so many stories coming from so many different parts of the city. I got a news alert text on my phone as I was on my way to see Spectre on Friday afternoon. I got a text right before I went into the theater. I looked at it, and at that time, I think they said there were 18 people dead. And I mean, it was so shocking to me. That's such a huge number of people to be killed in a terrorism incident. I thought, oh my God, are you kidding me? Like, what could have happened here? And then I got out of the theater, and it was like 150.
Right.
Which, mercifully, was rounded down once the final count was in. I think it was 127, but another 300 injured, almost 100 of those very seriously. I mean, just a cold-blooded mass murder of multiple people, most of whom are dead, who – I don't know how you get away from – you know, if somebody's willing to blow himself up, if somebody's willing to be a suicide bomber, it's pretty hard to defend against that.
Yep.
I don't know how so many of those guys got into the stadium and were able to do that. You know, it seems like that's poor security.
I don't think
right?
anybody got into the stadium. They were denied access. Yeah. It was right outside the stadium.
Oh, so the suicide bombers were outside the stadium as people were trying to go into the stadium, but you could hear it from inside the stadium during the game.
And a lot of people thought the first bomb that went off, they thought, oh, this is part of the game.
Fireworks.
You saw a couple of the players kind of stop dead and then keep playing. Then I think it was less than 5 minutes after was the second one. And that's when it occurred to people like this is not part of the festivities.
And that Eagles of Death Metal show, picture what that was like for people who were just in a venue, which I think was about a 1,500 person venue, just watching a rock show. And then all of a sudden guys just come in and start just shooting for 10 minutes straight with guns. I mean, it's so horrifying. And you look at something like that and you go, that could be any of us. In fact, Bono talked about that a little bit. You know, Bono was the band U2 was in Paris on Friday night. That was the night they were supposed to do their HBO concert. Just to perform live, and of course they canceled it, as they canceled everything across the city. And Bono got on the air at 2FM in Ireland and talked about it.
Really, our first thoughts at this point are with the Eagles fans, Eagles of Death Metal. Yeah. And this is, if you think about it, the majority of victims last night are music fans. This is the first direct hit on music that we've had in this so-called, you know, war on terror, whatever it's called, and it's very upsetting. These are our people. This would be me at a show, you at a show, in that venue. You know, it's a very recognizable situation for you and for me, and the cold-blooded aspect of this slaughter is deeply disturbing. And that's what I can't get out of my head.
So you two canceled their show. They are going to reschedule. We had an event scheduled on Friday night at the Belasco Theater with the band Coldplay, a concert that they were doing for us and our winners that was to be streamed through Tidal. And Dave, I'm glad you're in here. Our producer, Dave the King of Mexico, is in here. Maybe you can talk me through how it came down that they ended up sort of canceling their show.
Well, they just announced on their website that out of respect to the Paris events, that they would postpone the Tidal stream. But since everyone was making their way down, they would do a little acoustic set for the people on their way.
Were you surprised that they canceled? You know, this was a show that was thousands of miles away from where the incident happened.
Now, knowing Coldplay, that's just who they are. So, you know, I didn't think they were going to perform at all. But I thought it was pretty cool that they did the acoustic set.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's tough to go out there and do joyous music when you have such a heavy heart. And obviously, you know, the band living in London and they spend a lot of time in Paris. You know, Chris was just in Paris 2 weeks ago or something like that. I imagine it's just hard to, you know, to feel up to performing. So the fact that they did something for the fans was awesome. Tell me about the tone of the night. You were there, Chip. You were there, too. What was it like for those of you to see Coldplay Friday night?
Well, they started off with a moment of silence about to, you know, everyone just to reflect. And the first song they did was a cover of Imagine. Hmm. Yeah, the whole set was like very stripped down. There was like parts of it where like people were, you know, the joyous parts of the show, but mostly it was just somber and just everyone just like just kind of taking it in and kind of trying to enjoy the night, but at the same time everyone was super, you know.
Yeah, they said bummed. That they selected songs that they felt appropriate to play, like no drums, nothing. It was just stripped down. Way down. Yeah.
This is from an audience recording, but here's a little of Coldplay doing John Lennon.
Above us on the sky.
That video that I'm sure everybody has seen of that guy in Paris playing Imagine out in front of the theater where the Eagles of Death Metal show was.
Unbelievable.
I understand that he drove 400 miles to get to Paris because he felt like he had to do something to help those people. And to, you know, give some sort of comfort to the people of Paris, which I thought was amazing. I mean, that it's isn't it something? I mean, Imagine is what, you know, 45 years old or something like that. It's still the song that so often people go back to when there's times like this. I mean, I remember how much we heard this song after 9/11 as well.
Mm-hmm.
What other songs did they do, Dave?
They did Sparks, Till Kingdom Come, Us Against the World, Fix You, and a song called Oh.
Okay. And what are the plans? They did announce that they were going to reschedule it and still do the title concert that we expected. When will we get those information?
Sometime this week. They're going to make the official announcement of when they're rescheduling.
All right. Ali, do you feel any different walking around Los Angeles knowing that ISIS has upped their game to be able to pull something like this off?
You know, I thought about that over the weekend because the thing with Paris was they attacked them in January. I mean, and who was better prepared than Paris, you would think.
Right.
It seems like it was just a stick it to him. We got you again. And I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to go through my day wondering if something's going to happen. But you know what? We kind of have to.
Right.
We have to be completely aware of our surroundings at all times now. It's the world we live in, and it sucks.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing, you know, America learned it over 9/11 is there's no over there anymore.
Right.
It's a world, you know, we're all citizens of the world. And it's, you know, it's literally possible that something like this happens anytime, anywhere. And I mean, I guess, you know, you just realize how precious life is and how, you know, through no fault of their own, those people were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's just heartbreaking. Just so heartbreaking. But anyway, we will certainly keep you posted when Coldplay makes the announcement about the rescheduled event. But that was a very classy thing that they did. And it sounds like it was a cathartic evening for those of you that were there, I'm sure. All right, 6:14, quick break. Harvey Levin's got the news from TMZ Newsroom right after this on K-Rock. Daniel Craig himself, James Bond from Spectre, joins us later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. And at 7:30, all the details you need to know on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. First, though, my name is Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, sir?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Going great. Thanks so much. You got a lot of good stuff. I was very excited to see how much Ronda Rousey stuff you had this week because that was, of course, the big sports story of the weekend. Man, the
No, I mean, it was the big celebrity story of the week. That was huge.
Yeah.
And you should have seen the traffic over the weekend was unbelievable with Ronda Rousey. People really cared.
I wonder if some of that, this may be dumb, I should have thought this out before I started the sentence, but is some of that most people are too cheap to pay for the fight, but they still want to get their Ronda Rousey fix, so they're just reading everything they can about it?
Well, you could say that. However, TMZ Sports did a lot of digging on this thing. It broke every single record. I mean, the number of bars that carried it in Australia, United States, also Canada, New Zealand, all sorts of countries broke records. You know, the Velasquez-Lesnar fight was the biggest money earner for the UFC up to this point. Ronda Rousey's fight shattered that. It broke every record. It was a lot of people shelled out money for this thing.
56,000 people on the ground there in Melbourne. You're, like you said, millions of people around the world pay-per-viewing. And I don't think, you know, we were talking about this last hour, Harvey. I think Ali and I were on the same page that we expected it to be a better fight. Holly Holm was more of a challenger, perhaps, than Ronda Rousey has faced before. Nobody expected the beatdown that we ended up seeing, though.
Well, nobody expected it. But you know what? We talked to Dana White yesterday. And, you know, it was really an interesting conversation. He told us a lot of stuff. But one of the things is that everybody didn't really look at Holly to see what an accomplished fighter she is. She's fought 45 times. She's had multiple titles. She is a real contender, and everybody just assumed because Ronda Rousey beat the crap out of her last opponent in 18 seconds that it was just going to happen again, and it didn't.
Do you I thought this was interesting at TMZ. It seems like there are a lot of celebrities weighing in on the fight, and it's almost like people are piling on Ronda. They're pissed that they didn't get the fight they expected from her, right?
Well, I think it goes beyond that. I mean, Lady Gaga was aggressive and, you know, and said she didn't shake hands with her before and said she got what she deserved. Donald Trump came out and said, you know, thank God she lost. She's not a nice person. I don't know what Trump's beef is, But
yeah, I don't either.
I think she supports Bernie Sanders, but seriously.
Come on. I just think, you know, as a people, for some reason, we like to knock people when they're down. It's just, it's human nature. And a lot of people had these feelings about Rhonda, like, oh, she's not that good. She's not. Come on. Give me a break.
I never heard that. I heard everybody say, look, I may be completely off on this thing, but I thought everybody thought Ronda Rousey was awesome. And I was shocked at the reaction to it. I really was shocked.
I am too. I'm with you, Harvey. I agree on both points. I think most people thought she was awesome, and I am very shocked. Like Layla Ali you have on the front page. She says, real champs don't get beat like that.
Jeez.
I mean,
you know, I will tell you this. We talked to Dana, and she is really depressed and bummed over this fight. I mean, she spent the night in the hospital with her sister. They had to get a plastic surgeon in because her lip was just gashed in the front. And, you know, but Dana says there will absolutely be a rematch.
Of course. By the way, it's so funny that Rhonda is at the point in her career where she needs to start thinking about how her face looks for all the movies that she wants to make.
Absolutely. I mean, Ronda Rousey is a bankable star now, and she's done a lot of big movies. And, you know, she's kind of the female version of The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, that's the career she'd like to emulate, absolutely. Here's Rhonda's statement that she finally made yesterday, by the way, after not speaking to the press on Saturday night. She finally posted on Instagram yesterday. I just want to thank everyone for the love and support. I appreciate the concerns about my health, but I'm fine. As I mentioned before, I'm going to take a little bit of time, but I'll be back. We're talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. By the way, you'll have that Dana White interview, I imagine, on the sports show on FS1?
Yeah, we're going to have I'm not going to say who, but we're working right now to get somebody really big for the show tonight.
Okay. I want to do one other story with you, Harvey, while we have you on the line, because I read it on the site over the weekend. It was not the encouraging news that I was hoping about Lamar Odom's recovery. It was really kind of shocking to me and what bad shape he continues to be in.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of stories out where people are saying, oh, he's, you know, rebounding and he's great and he's going to rehab and everything else. He is anything but great. I mean, he is in terrible shape. He can't walk. He can barely speak. I mean, he can get a word out here and there. He has lost a lot of his cognitive functions. He doesn't recognize a lot of people. This really took its toll, and the strokes were not minor. And the doctors are saying that the strong likelihood is he is going to be substantially impaired for the rest of his life.
Oh, man. You know, when somebody gets hurt, and I'm thinking about like when Tracy Morgan was in that accident a year and a half ago, and then you don't see or hear anything about it, the recovery is being done in private, there's really very little information that comes out. You literally don't know. Like until Tracy came out on the Emmys, we had no idea if he could even talk or what he would sound like, you know?
Well, and that's a little different because we actually got him. It was funny because we got him these kind of gradations of improvement where we got him out in a wheelchair, and then we got him out in a cane, and then we got him walking, and then we got him driving. So we actually did see a progression with Tracy. With Lamar, he's just been laid up in the hospital, and what's happened is people have written these stories, and they've kind of taken on a life of their own, and all of a sudden people are saying, oh, he's rebounding. He's not.
Yeah, I keep expecting to see the Lakers start playing him, but apparently we're a long way from that. All right, keep us posted on Lamar. Obviously, we're hoping for the best for him. TMZ airs throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, all over the daytime schedule. TMZ Live at 4 o'clock, and then TMZ Sports with its new home on Fox Sports 1. Check it out. Sounds like less than 60 minutes away from all the details you need to know on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. And a real-life astronaut just after 7. Allie, did you ever go through a phase of wanting to be an astronaut?
Never.
Because you didn't want to go into space, which is the coolest thing in the whole wide world?
Helmets don't fit me, so that was always a concern of mine.
As a deal breaker.
Yeah, deal breaker.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm very excited to have an actual astronaut and astrophysicist on the program just after 7. First, though, let's face it. We are well into mid-November now, and it is crunch time for Christmas shopping. If you haven't started thinking about it, you are already behind the eight ball because the holiday is going to be here before you know it. And that's why I'm glad Gwyneth Paltrow is helping us out. You know, she has that Goop website.
Sure.
And the criticism has always been of Gwyneth Paltrow is that she doesn't understand that she and her friends don't live the way the rest of us do.
Yeah.
she makes it sound like everybody can spend the kind of money that she spends. I mean, her, you know, her advice for lunch is, hey, just, you know, just fly to London. I mean, that's the kind of life that she lives. Mm-hmm. And she sometimes passes those ideas along to others, and people read her website and they go, hey, Gwyneth, we can't afford to do this stuff. Well, I think she's done it again, because she has her Christmas gift guide out, and she recommends a few items. For instance, a really nice pair of gold dumbbells. They are Hock Design Goldloft dumbbells made of 18 karat gold. They only cost $125,000.
Oh, geez.
How about a jellyfish tank? She describes this illuminated domed fish tank as unapologetically awesome. The jellyfish tank is only $1,621.
And that does not come with jellyfish.
Does not come with the jellyfish, yeah. she has a $1,000 toilet paper, which apparently I can't even, like, in a million. Well, why don't we ask Gwyneth? Because I believe we have Gwyneth Paltrow from Goop.com on the phone. Maybe she can explain some of these items and tell us what she recommends for Christmas. Hey, Gwyneth, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Gwyneth.
We're doing fine. You feel pretty good about your holiday gift guide?
These gifts are unapologetically awesome.
That's what I understand, yeah.
Yeah.
This outrageously priced toilet paper from Joseph's Toiletries, you have it listed at $956. And for the life of me, I can't understand how you can take paper and make it cost so much.
This is, it's hard to even call this paper, because it's just so luxurious. Your butt will think you're on vacation.
But you do realize you're still wiping your butt and throwing it away. Why would you spend that kind of money?
Because it's a whole new experience. It's just a cleansing ritual for your sphincter.
Oh, I can't even picture. I mean, is it ground up $100 bills? Is that the paper that you use to make the toilet paper?
Well, it's the most supple of tissue. It has gentle cleansing care qualities to it.
Okay.
And it just makes your butthole sing.
Well, okay. I guess nothing says celebrating the baby Jesus like making your butthole sing. That's
Listen,
for sure.
This is not even a luxury, because you have to do it every day. Or
right.
In my case, you poop about once every couple months. But still,
oh, you should get that checked out.
I don't eat.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. You don't need
it. No in, no out, I always say.
So a lot of our listeners may be unfamiliar with the gift guide. Do you have some suggestions maybe specifically for the K-Rock audience as the holidays approach?
I do. I'm so glad you asked. First of all, we have an amazing human skull chess set.
Human skulls?
Yes, all the pieces are made of human skulls. And it's only $94,000.
Whose skulls are these? Yeah.
It's a tribe of Amazonian pygmies.
Okay. And
you need little skulls, because you don't want big skulls.
No.
You wouldn't even have room for that on your table. So you need little tiny pygmy skulls.
You didn't kill all the pygmies just to make the chess set, did you, Gwyneth?
Not me, no.
Okay.
All right. That's a lot of work. I had a guy do it.
You outsourced that. Okay, all right. Pygmy chess skull. Got it.
Also, for your Christmas party, this is outrageously outrageous. Peyton Manning will come to your Christmas party and pass out hors d'oeuvres for $322,000.
Wow.
But unfortunately, a lot of the hors d'oeuvres go to the wrong guest.
When
he passes him out.
No.
That is unfortunate.
You may have to sit him down at some point in the party.
Oh, you don't want to bench your waiter, do you?
Also, for $780,000, it's an amazingly outrageous orca coffee table.
An orca coffee table? Made out of a whale?
You know one of those whales?
Yeah.
The black and white ones?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're pretty.
First of all, black and white, say chic, right?
Right.
And it's really just a tank only big enough just to hold the whale in place.
Oh, that's awful.
Goodness.
And then you fill it with water, and then you can use it as a coffee table.
That's a terribly cruel thing to do to a beautiful animal.
No, it isn't, because we keep it tranquilized.
Oh, no.
You have to, otherwise your champagne glass will tip over if the orca moves.
I feel like that shouldn't be allowed to be sold.
For $400,000, you can have a baby.
A real baby?
You're selling babies?
Yeah, we got a baby. He's really cute.
Whose baby, Gwyneth?
I don't know, but he's really cute.
You can't sell children on the internet. You know that, right, Gwyneth?
$400 is cheap. You don't have to go through all that adoption stuff and everything. That's a baby.
Right, but again, it's against the law, and you took that baby away from somebody.
For $1.3 million, you can hunt, let me see this, you can hunt Gwyneth Paltrow. What?
Oh.
Oh, crap. Ow. Someone bought this. Ow. Those are bullets. Hey.
Oh, wow.
Hey, cut it. Hey, you hit my Orca coffee table. Come on, don't be innocent. Don't get.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Monday morning. Talk to a real-life astronaut coming up just after 7. And at 7:30, all the details you need to know for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Fast approaching. Hey, Ralph.
Aren't there like a billion astronauts now? Then we sound like a billion people into space.
I don't think a billion. I think fewer people have been in space than haven't. How about that?
Yeah, well,
less than half of the world's population has been in space, I would say.
Wow.
Okay, right.
Really went on a limb.
Well, let's talk to everyone then that is less than half the population if they've done something. If you're a registered accountant, I'm guessing less than half the population are that.
Look, I don't know what it takes to impress you, but being an astronaut seems to me like the hardest job in the world.
Not anymore. They put you in like an elevator and they shoot you up there and it's like. I don't know. They got those drinks with the umbrellas in them. And
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Let me pretend to drink water out of the air. Okay. Oh, time to go home. Bums. Everybody goes now. Boring.
This guy that we're talking to, Mike Full, just after 7, he was on the Mir space station when there was an accident.
Oh, so was it commie? First of all, he's a commie.
No, he wasn't.
I think he's British.
Yeah. British commie.
And there was a supply ship that came that bumped into it, did more than bumped into it, had a terrible mislock. That's not even a word. And the Mir space station loses power, starts spinning out uncontrollably. And Mike Full has to write it by using the stars. He has to look at the stars and figure out where they are and where they're going and get the ship back online.
Well, I didn't realize there was a mislock. Had I known there was a mislock, I wouldn't have even opened up this can of worms. I apologize, please, because I know what a big deal a mislock can be.
He is going to tell us all about it.
All right.
This
well, first though, I will time, tune in for that. Then
time for the showbiz meet. Here's Ralph.
I'm going to go out into my car in the parking lot and I'm going to tune in because I want to hear all about his mislock.
I don't know where that word came from, but I regret it.
It's Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Spectre continues to be number one, $35.4 million. Just dominating the world's box office right now. That Daniel,
over half a billion dollars it's made already. That's all.
That's all. If only we could talk to that Daniel Craig and see how he feels about the success of that film.
8 o'clock, Ralph.
What?
8 o'clock.
That's not possible.
I know. I'm very excited.
Peanuts movie made $24.2 million, made it number two. Then Love the Coopers in its debut, $8.4 million. Not a lot of people going to see Love the Coopers. Maybe a lot of people said, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Don't beat me up with Christmas movies.
Yeah, possible.
The Martian was fourth, the 33 in its debut. $5.8 million. Made it number five at the box office. Then Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies. Prem Ratan Dahan Payo. In its debut, made $2.4 million. Hotel Transylvania 2 and The Last Witch Hunter. Those are your top 10 movies at the box office. What do you do when you are the star of a hit TV series? You've got everything you've ever wanted, but your job makes you sick. Well, that's what's going on right now with Jamie Alexander, according to the New York Post.
Is she the blindside girl?
She is the girl on Blind Spot.
Yes. Blind Spot, right?
Blind Spot.
Or Miss Spot, right?
I think Miss Spot is the name of her show.
I'm good today.
You are strong. Apparently, the ink that's used to apply her fake tattoos for each and every scene is somewhat toxic.
Oh, God.
She's having a bad reaction to it.
Maybe check that out before.
They're having to use body doubles more and more often because apparently the makeup is making her sick. And four makeup artists were reportedly fired from the studio last week because of this snafu. What's going on there? I would like to volunteer, by the way, if they're looking for someone to make up Jamie Alexander's body with tattoos.
Oh, that is very giving
very
of you.
Nice
because
of you.
The show must go on. That's how I feel. And I want to do my part as the vice president of show business. To step into the void and to help Ms. Alexander out with anything I can do. I could apply the foundation.
Uh-huh.
I could dust her with some showbiz dust, powder, whatever.
Okay.
Look, I'm not a makeup artist
I don't
by
mean
profession.
To be technical.
I'm just saying she must need a dusting now and then.
I'm sure she does.
That might get rather intimate and personal, though. You're willing to do that?
Well, you know, me.
At your own
I'm
great
able to
personal
separate
discomfort?
The mm-hmm. professional from the personal. That's why I'm a professional.
Okay. The craft.
And I would, yes, it's about show business, not about mm-hmm. her supple, lithe body and her perfect china alabaster skin. That needs to be dusted. Clueless. All right, moving on.
No.
No, there was a movie called Clueless back in 1985. Remember that Amy Heckling film? Made a star out of, what's her name? You know, big star. The unforgettable star of that film.
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone, of course. Well, they're making a musical version that's heading to Broadway in 2016. And Amy Heckling, who wrote and directed that film, is behind it. And she says she has the perfect casting for Cher Horowitz, the lead character from that story. Mm-hmm. Who do you think she would like to have play on Broadway?
Adele Dazeem.
No, she's not available, Adele Dazeem.
All right, so you're talking about on Broadway, who's going to play the Alicia Silverstone character?
Once again, Bean, you have crystallized my thoughts perfectly.
I just wanted to make sure we understood. Rebecca Black.
All right. Okay. See, now you've gone the opposite direction from good. Katy Perry is her first choice. Katy Perry.
Oh. Huh. Nope.
Why? Why nope?
I don't think so.
She's charming. She's
lovely. Too old, for starters.
That's where I was
you
going.
Ageist bastard.
Well, she was in high school in the movie.
Yeah, well, you don't know. Alicia Silverstone was 40 when she played that role. So what do you know?
All right.
Amy says, quote, I love Katy Perry, but you never know what will happen. She has a whole big schedule, so maybe they're going to reach out to her, but I guess they're not holding out. Too big hopes. Imagine the box office, though, if you got her to star in your Broadway musical.
You'd
get all the money. And some of you may have noticed that Kevin is missing from the show today. He's fine. He'll be back tomorrow. However, he is taking a day off because he is overcome with emotion at the news that ABC has canceled its show Wicked City, starring Ed Westwick and Erica Christensen. Kevin, of course, was also one of the stars of that show. And although the show started off strong, it never really caught on with viewers, and they apparently lost interest in whatever the hell that show was about. So ABC is going to instead air repeats of Shark Tank as of this Tuesday, taking over its slot at 10 p.m., which is just sad news for Kevin because he loved the show. He thought this was his big break. He played a very, just a frantic, energetic radio DJ. A lot of people thought he was the star of the show. He'd come on the radio and just blow you away with the energy of his performance.
Well, he stole every scene.
He absolutely did, just with the power of his voice and personality. I think you may remember this scintillating moment from the show.
I got to tell you, I'm loving that new record and can't wait to see those boys live. Now I've got Foreigner. This is Feels Like the First Time for Emily F., and it's from her secret environment.
Yeah.
Oof.
You get the sense he really can't wait to see those boys live.
Dynamic.
Yeah.
I miss the old, the show set in the 80s on the Sunset Strip, and I miss the dynamic, flame-throwing kind of radio that was on in Los Angeles back then.
It made radio DJ stars, that kind of energy, that kind of power. Yeah. Dr. Ben Carson said, that guy's low-key. Today's celebrity birthdays. SNL's Pete Davidson is 22 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 38.
All right, let me stop you right there, Ralph.
Yeah.
I'm
with him.
Really?
Yep.
No bell for the sad turtle?
No. Why? You described her as a sad turtle. Why would you ring the bell in the first place?
Because she's still pretty. She's pretty, but
sad
she does,
turtle kind of way.
She does have a sad turtle-y face, but I still find her pretty. But look, if you guys are saying no, then no, it is.
Yeah, from Bean as mentioned, we had a lot of blowback from the fact that Bean gave a bell to Maggie Gyllenhaal earlier in the show.
I think she's very pretty.
I think she's very talented.
Allie, your thoughts?
I think she's adorable.
Bell or no bell?
No bell.
See. All right. 38 years old today. Actress Missy Pyle, who's very funny, is 43 years old today, and Marg Helgenberger is 57 years old today. All these stars born on today, November the 16th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We are picking and grinning here on a Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ, 1 hour away from actor Daniel Craig. He plays James Bond in a movie called Spectre, don't you know? Maybe you've heard of it. We'll talk to him and all the details you need to know about this year's KROQ Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 coming up at 7:30 this morning. All right, I got to contain myself. I got to take some deep breaths here, Allie, because I'm so excited to talk to a real live astronaut on the program. Mike Fole joins us. Science Channel has a program called Secret Space Escapes. It airs Tuesday nights at 10 on the Science Channel, and it is a fascinating new look at the things that can go wrong in space. One of the most dangerous professions in the world is being an astronaut. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Very good, and it's fun to be with you.
It is a real honor to talk to a real-life American-slash-British hero. A little background before we get into the incident that we're going to see on Science Channel tomorrow night. Tell us a little bit about your astronaut duties. You're retired now, but you went up into space a whole bunch of times, right?
A whole bunch of times. I was very lucky. I flew six times in space, more than a year total time, five times on the American-U.S. space shuttle, which unfortunately we're not flying right now, and once on the Russian Soyuz.
It is almost impossible to become an astronaut. I mean, there are lots of jobs. You know, you look at a professional athlete, for instance, it's very tough to play in the NFL or to play in the NBA. I would imagine it's the same sort of deal with the competition to be the guy who get, or lady who gets the call to go up into space as well, right?
That's true. And in fact, basically, you spend your whole life sort of coaching, preparing yourself for to become an astronaut, a professional one. And it's a lifetime dream, and it's a lifetime career, and you work your way to it.
There's so many things that can go wrong in a space mission. How much time do you spend preparing for things like fires and whatnot that might happen?
Actually, yes, probably not all that much compared to the total amount of training, probably 1% or less. But when they really happen, an awful lot of the other training, the kind of the general knowledge, the general appreciation of your systems, your spacecraft comes into play so that you can invent and make new decisions and innovate in how you treat the emergency.
And there wasn't any part of you growing up who saw things that happened like with the Challenger and then much more recently the Columbia that scares you off of taking the journey?
Well, I'm always scared when I'm launched into space, and my last flight was after Columbia. But you know you're doing something really important. You know you're totally into the whole idea of humans exploring space and going beyond the Earth and furthering humanity's progress. So that kind of kick lets you get through that moment of fear.
I'm always scared when I am launched into space. It's something not many of us will ever get to say. That's amazing.
Well, each time you go, oh man, I've got to get through this launch.
Are you able to watch and enjoy a movie like Gravity or a movie like Apollo 13 or The Martian or any of these movies where things go bad for astronauts, or is it just too scary for you?
Oh, it's not the scary. No. I'm not scared. Gravity was a great movie, and I loved the visuals, and it was just like doing a Hubble telescope repair, which I got to do once. But the scary parts of Gravity are so unreal to me that I just kind of chuckle.
Oh, isn't that interesting? So it kind of takes you out of the movie because I'm watching and I don't know anything about how space works, so it looks like it could happen to me, but you watch it and go, oh, thank God that would never be.
Yeah, that's right. But like The Martian is a super movie, and Apollo 13 also. So there you really do kind of think and reflect. You think, yeah, I kind of saw something like that, and you chew on it a bit.
See, for someone that doesn't know much about space, I figure once the launch goes well, I would think you're in the clear. Things are going good. But I'm reading about the show Secret Space Escapes. You've got valve malfunctions, toxic ammonia flakes, insulation breaking off, hitting the underbelly. Things are happening up there that I never even could imagine happening.
Well, Ali, that is the point, is that, yes, we're trained and prepared for, obvious emergencies that we can guess and anticipate, but the ones that really catch us and the ones that the show are going to talk about are the ones that we didn't anticipate.
Right.
Let's talk about 1997. Astronaut Mike Fole here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The show is called Secret Space Escapes tomorrow night on the Science Channel. What happened? You're on board the Russian Mir station, and a resupply vessel is coming toward you, and that's fairly common, fairly typical up there, right?
That is typical, but it's always automated, and they always do it with a radar turned on. Basically, we call it a transponder that tells the machine, because it's all robotic, how fast it's going and how far away it's going, and it slowly reduces the speed as it comes into the docking. What they were doing that time was trying to save money, and the Russians were trying not to buy a radar that was made in the Ukraine. And they're trying to save like $2 million. And so they made the crew that I was with on board the Mir fly this thing by remote control using the TV camera on the Progress cargo ship, which weighs 7 tons, to fly it into the Mir. But they did that not from the distance the crew are normally trained at, which is just about 100 meters, 100 yards. They did it from 6 kilometers away, which is, and they gave them a case where the thing was going probably 20%, 30% faster than it should have been. So the crew, unfortunately, didn't recognize how fast it was coming in until it was too late to stop.
And what happened when it hit the mirror?
When it hit the mirror, I was floating through to the emergency, to our lifeboat spacecraft called the Soyuz, because I was told that we might need it. And as it hit, the whole space station kind of shuddered. I heard a kind of a dull thud, but because I was floating and passing through to the lifeboat, I didn't actually feel anything. I just saw it all move around me. Almost about 3-4 seconds after that, I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe this is it. I was going to die. But I tried to breathe out like a diver does when you think your air is going to come out of your lungs so your lungs don't pop. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't going to do any good because I'd still die anyway from asphyxiation. But then after that first...
Jeez, this is the worst story ever.
But after the first second or two, I looked around and I realized that, no, the walls hadn't parted. Instead, my ears started to pop. And so then that confirmed for me that it had hit badly enough to knock a hole in the ship. Oh. And it knocked a hole actually in the module, which I had been keeping all my stuff in, where I'd been sleeping, called Spectre. And it cracked. It put a hole roughly equivalent of about an inch in there. And so the air started to leave the space station really fast, but not like a howling gale. It was just kind of a whistle, and your ears are popping. And we had about 20 minutes or so of what we call reserve time, where there would be enough air before we went unconscious. So we had 20 minutes to basically deal with the situation.
And all the while, you're in an out-of-control spin.
That's true, but that was not our immediate problem. That became a problem after we'd stopped the leak. And then after we'd stopped the leak, then the space station started to die because, when I say die, all of the electricity was turned off because the spin of the station meant the solar arrays, because it's solar powered, couldn't point to the sun anymore.
Now, Mike, I haven't seen the show on Secret Space Escapes yet, so I don't know the answer. And if this is a spoiler and you can't tell me, go ahead. But
did you live?
Tape. It had to be duct tape, right? That must be the way you fixed it.
I'm sorry, Ali jumped in there. I said again.
Yes, you lived. That's right. The spoiler alert. Is Mike made it right? How do you fix a hole in a spaceship? I mean, what do you have on board that can patch something like that?
Actually, the most obvious and the thing we did in the first 6 minutes, I think it was we were able to get rid of all of the cables that passed through from that module that was hit. We managed to remove them, and we put a cap, a big metal 1 yard wide cap in place over that hole that happily was in that section of the station from 13 years beforehand, but we were able to untie it, uncover it, and put it in place. And it sort of sucked in with a big sound. The actual hole we never managed to fix, and that module was lost forever.
Wow. Do you have time to, I mean, you made mention when you realized that something was wrong and you heard your ears pop, you made mention to, okay, this is it, I'm going to die. But you don't really have time to reflect on that because you've got a lot of work to do in those few minutes that you have, right?
It's true, but every time something bad happens, I've only had a few of these, but the weird thought goes through your head for a second, you know, the lurch of adrenaline, your tummy lurches, and then you think, oh, you know, you say a couple of bad words to yourself, and then you think, is this it? And then you say to yourself, stop.
Yeah.
Concentrate on resolving the situation. And so I've had a couple of really scary moments in airplanes, too, where your tummy lurches. You go, oop, and then you say, concentrate, focus, and you get yourself back on track.
How did your Russian colleagues react to the incident on the mirror? Were they as cool and calm as you were, or were they just running around screaming with their heads cut off?
No, they were very good. They were really, really good. And they gave me I've got a voice recording of how we behaved that time, and I'm impressed by how they managed it. Sasha Glazutkin, the flight engineer, was the one who spotted the thing was going to collide only a few seconds beforehand, but at least he had the presence of mind to say, Mike, go to the Soyuz to get it ready to leave. And he figured that out right up front. And then the commander, Vasily, who unfortunately was the one who took the blame, who was at the controls, although, as I said, I think it was a very bad experiment by the Russians. He also just stayed at his post, kept talking to the MCC in Moscow, and started doing all the right things to stop the leak and get more air into the station.
Unbelievable. So they're able to use the rockets inside the Soyuz to stop the roll and save the ship and not die. And that's why Mike Fole is alive to be able to talk to us today. This show sounds fascinating. It's Tuesday nights at 10 on the Science Channel. We'll see Mike's episode tomorrow night. What a thrill to have you on the program. We really enjoyed talking to you, sir. Thanks so much for the time.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks.
That was fun.
Whoa.
That dude's an astronaut.
That's phenomenal. Like, just reading through all the different things that these people went through up there, I had no idea.
Yeah, no bueno.
None.
All right, minutes away from the details on the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, but before we do that, we want to send you to Las Vegas. If you are a fan of the Rocky movies like we are, you're excited about Creed in theaters everywhere on November 25th. They are providing us, for you, a trip for two to Las Vegas. This includes round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash, plus a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Creed at the AMC Orange this Thursday night. You got to know your Rocky movies. If you do, call us right now to be a contestant to play for these tickets. 1-800-520-1067. You win a trip to Las Vegas next on K-Rock. 10 minutes away from the details you need to know to join us for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Very exciting. Very great announcement coming up. All right. The truth is, I had to stay up pretty late last night with the stupid Seahawks game.
You sound like you got hit a few times in the
head.
And
I feel like I got hit a few times.
You
so I'm
punched
not having,
in the face, you know, a couple hundred
the greatest
times.
And
your brain stops working right, you know.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm not so good.
No,
I'm not so
it sounds
good.
Like you got, like, you know, punchy. You know, like you get punched in the face a lot and then your brain, you know, is bruised.
No, I understand.
And
listen.
Next thing you know, it's not working right. You say, it's a very great announcement. You know?
I didn't think that we were going to see any more Rocky movies because you're like 70, but you are back with a new film that looks amazing. It is called Creed. It's in theaters everywhere on November the 25th. So basically, you're helping the son of Apollo Creed become a boxer.
Yeah, you know, it's like Creed, you know, he was the greatest, you know. And then his son, you know, his illegitimate son... Uh-huh. Says that he's going to be a fighter, you know, when he comes to me. He says, yeah, you want to train me?
That's right.
I'll be like, I don't know. You know, the hardest opponent you ever face, you know, is you.
Right. That's what you say. Yeah. Anyway, the movie looks terrific, and we want to give away some tickets right now, not just to see the film at the K-Rock screening at the AMC Orange this Thursday, but also to give you a free trip to Las Vegas, round-trip airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. This game is called Who Did Rocky Fight?
Tell me, who did Rocky fight in that fight? Whose face did he punch? Whose bells did he chime? Who in the hell did Rocky fight in that one fight? Who did Rocky fight in that one fight?
Thank you.
Who the hell did Rocky fight in that one fight?
Who did Rocky
fight?
Fight?
I had more one fight, you know, in life fight.
Who did Rocky fight?
I had to defend my title, you know?
Okay,
you know,
so we have...
First time I didn't win, and second time I did win, and then I was, the champ, and then
okay,
I had to
listen,
defend
Rocky.
All the fights.
Sylvester Stallone, we got callers on the
all
line.
These guys
Sly.
Come on. You know, and Mickey's trying to prop me up. Like, what? You're going to protect me? I'll fight the fight.
Oh, wow.
Okay, listen. We got callers on the line. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be playing a clip from a Rocky movie of one of Rocky's opponents. All you have to do is identify that fighter. If you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets for the free trip to Las Vegas. Who's our first contestant, Sly?
Well, first up is Loop.
I think it's Lupe.
It's probably Lupe, yeah. I would imagine, yeah.
Loop from Riverside. And he, you know, he manages relationships, you know. So if you're, like, in a fight with your wife, you're like, yo, Adrian, why are you, let me be who I am, right?
Okay.
I never asked you to stop being a woman.
We don't
ask
have time
me to stop being a man, you know. So he would come in
right,
and he would,
Sly,
like, manage that relationship that you have with that person, you know.
Let's try to get to the clip here. All right. So, again, Lupe, this is going to be a clip from a Rocky opponent. You name that fighter. Who did Rocky fight? Listen.
Who did Rocky fight?
All right. All right. We have a song already, right? Play a clip.
I'm ready.
Get out of my face. Don't need nothing you got no more. Don't need no hair has been messing up my corner. And you better get that bad look off your face before I knock it off. Come on. Wanna jump? Jump. Come on. Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, just like a chicken. You better run.
All right. Who did Rocky fight in that clip, Lupe?
That's Mr. T.
That's the actor, right? Who's the name of the character, please?
Mr. T was the name of the actor, and that's Rocky 3.
Right, but who did I fight in that film? What was his name of the opponent?
Ah, Ted.
in the movie. I didn't say, yo, Mr. T, you want to fight? I never said that. You know, I was like Rocky, and he was somebody named.
Oh, man.
Lupe, I'm sorry. Oh. We were looking for Clubber Lang is who we wanted. Clubber Lang was the name. Thank you for calling, though. Who's our next contestant, Sly?
He's being rude, too, to Apollo in that scene. He's like, hey, get out of my face, you know? Like, and then Apollo says, me, do us all a favor, knock this chump out, you know?
Right. Let's take another caller. What do you think, Sylvester?
Right. James from Westminster.
Westminster, right.
Oh, hey, no, James. Archie. Let's go Archie instead.
All right. Whichever one you want.
We'll go to Archie in Montclair.
Right, Montclair. All right, Archie, listen
up.
He's
so good.
Who did Rocky fight in this clip? Good luck.
I'm coming after you, Balboa. To all my love slaves out there, is here. In the flesh, baby.
Oh, my God.
The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball.
Smack talking. Archie, who did Rocky fight?
I couldn't really hear the clip.
Oh.
Is that your answer?
No. Can you play it one more time?
I cannot.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, we can't. Sorry.
That was Thunderlips we were looking for.
Yeah, he was big, too. He was a big guy, you know?
Yeah.
He
all right.
A wrestler.
0-2 so
far.
It was
Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, the great Hulk Hogan,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, great racist.
Let's try another contestant. Who do you like, Sylvester?
How about James in Westminster?
Still Westminster. All right, yeah. James, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Not doing so well so far, but we're going to ask you, who did Rocky fight? Here's your clip. Listen up.
This fight will be held in the Philadelphia Spectrum, because I want this man's hometown to see this. I want all of Philadelphia, I want all of America, I want the whole world to see me destroy this man after two short rounds. Because after this fight, he's going to have to donate what's going to be left of his body to science, but there won't be much. That I can guarantee.
All right, James, who's that?
That was the best fighter Rocky ever faced. That was Apollo Creed.
Yeah, it was.
He was great.
Yeah, it was.
He was
all right.
Great.
He was great, and then he died.
Or in the drawing. Hey, spoiler alert. Yeah. Maybe we haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah,
James, you're in the drawing. You know? Let's do one more contestant. Sylvester, who do you like?
All right. How about Jerome? Hey, Jesse. Now, Jerome.
Nope. Nope. Not the time.
From Santa Ana. Yeah, so a lot of N's and A's.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to Kevin and Bean Show.
He's a psychical therapist.
We don't have time to get into that. It's physical, but listen up.
Not according
clip.
To this thing. It's spelled with psychical.
Who did? They can't write it, and you can't read.
It says psychical.
It does say psychical.
This is psychical therapist. He's,
fire
you know,
beer
he's
mug.
A therapist
all right.
For cycles.
Listen up. Here's your clip. Who
it's
did
like,
Rocky
why
fight?
Why do you have two legs?
Yeah, I can shoot, my beautiful. Yes, senor. Yes, senor. I just need all that. Real champion. If he dies, I must break him.
Ooh, classic. All right, Jerome, who's that?
That's Ivan Drago.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. Well done. All right, you are in the drawing. It's Jerome or it's James. Only one will win. Not only tickets to see the K-Rock Advanced Screening of Creed at the AMC Orange this Thursday, but a trip for two to Las Vegas, including airfare, hotel, spending cash, thank you. Brought to you by Creed in theaters every November 25th. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jerome.
Yeah!
Hey, Jerome!
Yeah!
Jerome, you did it! You did it, Jerome! You're a champion! You got the belt, Jerome!
He didn't win a fight. He
Yo, Adrian,
wanted...
Jerome did it!
Trip to Las Vegas. Thanks for playing Who Did Rocky Fight?
Who did Rocky fight in that one fight?
Yeah, no. You know what? No.
K-Rock.
I agree with that guy. 7:36 Monday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. This is always a refreshing conversation to have, Allie, because there are so many people listening right now who hate the Kevin and Bean Show or never listen to the Kevin and Bean Show. But twice a year, they make sure to get up, set their alarm so they can hear the announcement for Acoustic Christmas in Wienerus. So this is one of those times.
They're doing the right thing.
So welcome, new listeners. I think so, too. This is the announcement you've been waiting for. Once again, it is the most wonderful time of the year, and K-Rock is bringing the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 show to you at the Forum. It will be December 12th and 13th, Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and 13th at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for K-Rock Street Team members. It's free to register at krock.com to become a Street Team member, and then you can buy the tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon. There is a limit of 4 tickets per person per night. Who are you going to be seeing? Well, here are the details on night number 1, December 12th at the Forum. Hit it, Steve.
And what are you on for Christmas?
Christmas. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, night one.
Saturday, December 12th, The Forum.
Some of my favorite K-Rock bands are 21 Pilots.
I really like 21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots. Kenosha, Wisconsin's own Weezer.
Weezer.
Cage the Elephant. I think they're really killing it right now.
Cage the Elephant. Ex-ambassadors. A beer and a pretzel makes a great Christmas meal. Now rush to the stage or you'll miss Bastille.
Like K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Silver Sun Pickups. Ho, 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 AWOL Nation. Fools. The Stress. Disclosure. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Exclusive Street Team Presale Friday. Proceeds benefit the L. Wooten Jr. Heritage Center. K-Rock.
LA and OC's Alternative First.
That is an incredible night of music. I don't remember that we've ever had 11 bands on one night of Acoustic Christmas, but that is the lineup for night number one, December 12th at the Forum. Again, in alphabetical order, AWOL Nation, Bastille, Cage the Elephant, Disclosure, Foals, Halsey, Silver Sun Pickups, The Struts, 21 Pilots, Weezer, and Ex-Ambassadors. But that's not all. Here's night number two.
K-R-O-O-O-Q!
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Night 2. Sunday, December 13th, The Forum. Fall Out Boy. Of Monsters and Men. Cornell.
Black hole sun, won't you come?
Start your holidays right and go off the grid. Who's next on my list? Well, it's Cold War Kids. George Ezra.
Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Panic at the Disco.
But they never want to leave.
Okay. The Neighborhood. Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. A K-Rock Christmas makes you feel alive. It's time for some eggnog. And the 1975. Acoustic Christmas 2015. Exclusive Street Team Presale Friday. Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
K-R-O-Q.
LA and OC's Alternative First.
There you go. There's night number two, December 13th at the Forum of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Once again, alphabetically, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Chris Cornell, Cold War Kids, L. King, Fall Out Boy, George Ezra, James Bay, Of Monsters and Men, Panic at the Disco, The 1975, and The Neighborhood. Tickets are going on sale for K-Rock Street Team members this Friday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. You can get all the details at K-Rock.com. You know, it's so amazing, Allie. It's like if you listen to K-Rock, the radio station just the songs that you hear just come to life in front of you. It's, I mean, 22 bands playing over the course of that weekend.
A lot of music.
It's unbelievable with all of our favorite songs and so many great live bands. That's what I'm really noticing. I mean, you know, it's hard to find rock music. Thank God for the people who decide to listen to K-Rock, because scan the dial. There's very little rock music on the radio. But there are a few actual bands out there who are great and can play rock music live, like Panic at the Disco, like The 1975, like Foals, like Weezer, like Cage the Elephant. I mean, some really dynamic performers among the list right there. So 22 bands, two nights, December 12th and 13th at the Forum.
You're going to be wanting to buy your tickets Friday when they go on sale at noon. And if you just tuned in late or need to hear it again, here's that information one more time for you.
And what do you want for Christmas?
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, night one.
Saturday, December 12th, The Forum.
Some of my favorite K-Rock bands are 21 Pilots.
I really like 21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
21 Pilots.
Kenosha, Wisconsin's own Weezer.
Weezer.
Oh, and Cage the Elephant. I think they're really killing it right now.
Cage the Elephant.
Ex-ambassadors.
That a beer and a pretzel makes a great Christmas meal. Now rush to the stage or you'll miss Bastille.
Like
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Silver Sun Pickups.
Ho, ho, ho,
we are the new
Nation.
Fools.
The Stress.
Disclosure.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Exclusive street team presale Friday.
Proceeds benefit the Elwood Junior Heritage Center.
K-Rock. LA and OC's alternative first.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015.
Night 2.
Sunday, December 13th, The Forum.
Fallout Boy.
Remember me for centuries. I'm
a fire. Monsters and Men.
Hold your horses now.
Chris Cornell.
Black hole sun, won't you come?
Start your holidays right and go off the grid. Who's next on my list? Well, it's Cold War Kids.
George Ezra.
Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015.
Panic at the Disco.
How many people ever heard of?
Always want to come, but they never want to leave.
Okay.
Neighborhood.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
A K-Rock Christmas makes you feel alive. It's time for some eggnog
and the 1975.
Acoustic Christmas 2015.
Exclusive street team presale Friday.
Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
LA and OC's alternative first.
Used to dream about a space, but now they're laughing at the face saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Who's
yes.
with me?
I don't know what we're talking about.
K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2015. Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th at the Forum. We'll be playing music from all the bands all morning long here on the Kevin Bean Show. Make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member so you get the password to buy their tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. Details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey.
We missed you a couple of days last week. Great to have you back.
Nope.
Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, joins us just after 8. First, the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Speaking of Mr. Craig, congratulations to he and the Bond family. Spectre, $35.4 million. Still number one at the box office. It's made about $500 million worldwide so far. That's all.
Oh, just that.
You know
just
it is.
That.
You know it is when you crank out a half a bill. You know? 500 thou.
It's been out a couple of weeks. It's made almost $550 million.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. The Peanuts movie was second, $24.2 million.
Go to see it yet, Ralph?
No. Shan't.
Okay.
Shan't. Shan't.
No!
Love the Coopers. Some people did. $8.4 million in its debut. Made it number three, The Martian, then The 33, rounding out your top five. Goosebumps, Bridge of Spies, Prem Ratan Dahan Payo, $2.4 million
easy
in
for
its
you
debut.
To say.
That's the new Bollywood film. It's taking the country by storm.
Yeah.
Hotel Transylvania 2 was ninth, and The Last Witch Hunter were your top five. Excuse me, top ten movies at the box office. Just outside of the top ten were My All-American, the new Aaron Eckhart film. It was 12th. And the Angelina Jolie movie with Brad Pitt that she stars in along with her husband and also directed. Debuted in 31st place with $95,000. But it's only on a couple screens. It's going to get wider. So,
but it is being savaged by those who have seen it.
Some
it being,
people are not being kind.
Just
like Bean.
Super boring, right?
Bean is mean.
I haven't seen it.
That's why they call him Bean, because it rhymes with mean.
Oh, I did not know that.
That's science. Also mean are some critics talking about Bruce Willis's opening night on Broadway in the stage version of Stephen King's Misery. The reviews are in, and his performance is being called sleepy by some critics. However, on the other end of the spectrum, some are calling it comatose.
So a wide range of opinions.
So you've got that going for you if you go to see Misery with Bruce Willis. Laurie Metcalf, on the other hand, is getting almost unanimously rave reviews as her role as Annie Wilkes, the psycho fan who hobbles her favorite author, played by Bruce Willis in this film.
Also, I bet people cheer. People cheer when he gets his ankles broke like that.
Good for you, Bruce. Boom! They scream. Apparently, he's got a earpiece in his ear.
They're feeding him lines?
And they're feeding him the lines while he's on stage, which makes for just a satisfying theater performance, really.
Oh, good Lord.
If you're just having someone going, now you get up and go to the other side of the room. What? He just yells. Al Pacino, by the way, also using one of those earpieces, as well as, if you believe the stories coming out of the New York Post, seven different teleprompters hidden into the set of David Mamet's new play, China Doll. Now, this play apparently needs a lot of work. New York Post reported over the weekend that it's still in preview. Some people walking out before the intermission.
Oh, can't even wait.
Yeah. The opening night of the play has been pushed back 2 weeks, and now some are saying it may never officially open. They may cut their losses before it even gets there. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live this weekend. Bean, did you watch? You watch, Bean? Bean, did you watch?
I did.
Of course you did.
Love that Elizabeth Banks, by the way. So talented.
Disclosure was the musical guest. And they had another guest as well. Inside the guest, inside the guest. They did their Signal Magnets. We features Lord on it. Yeah. And there was Lord singing along.
Yeah, delightful as always.
Many people on the interwebs said, oh, she was lip-syncing because her stupid vocals sounded too good. They had to be fake, stupid, stupid vocals being stupid good.
That sounds like a compliment.
It was. In fact, Lord was, in fact, singing live. And she tweeted, wow, the fact that some people thought I was lip-syncing on Saturday Night Live is an awesome compliment. Goes without saying, I have never / will never. So, there, people. Making fun of the Lord. We won't have it.
They also brought out Sam Smith to sing the second song with Disclosure. So I don't know what that means, if anything, because they are on the bill for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, but I wonder if they're going to bring any of their famous friends with them for their performance for our show as well.
Yeah. I say do.
All right. Allie says do.
Please, if you would.
And speaking of live music, John Lennon, of course, would have been 75 years old on October the 9th. That's why they're having a special concert to commemorate that on December the 5th. What the hell's going on? It's called Imagine, the John Lennon 75th birthday concert, and it's happening in Madison Square Garden in New York City. Here's your lineup. Sheryl Crow, Brandon Flowers, Peter Frampton, Pat Monahan of Train, Willie Nelson, The Roots, and Steven Tyler, amongst others.
Wow, what a lineup.
It is quite a lineup. Very eclectic. Show's being filmed, of course, for a TV special. AMC TV will air the All-Star event on December the 19th, some 2 months after John Lennon's birthday.
Well, as long as Yoko performs, I'm in.
Some of the proceeds will be going to the Robin Hood Foundation, which steals money from the rich and gives to the poor,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I doubt that's really how
Well, then why would they call it What, do they shoot arrows into people?
Ooh,
that'd be
like
worse.
That. I don't like that.
Given those two options, what do you think is more likely?
I like giving to the poor.
Then me too, yeah. Aaron. It does fight poverty all over New York City, apparently. So that's a pretty good cause. John Lennon, of course, adopted New York City as his home. So nice to see that the charity is going to locals there. Today's celebrity birthday is Pete Davidson from SNL, is 22 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal celebrates her 38th birthday. Missy Pyle is 43. Mark Helgenberger is 57 years old today. Speaking of birthdays, Bean celebrated one over the weekend,
nope.
And he was just saying while we were off air that he would love to get some birthday greetings from you, the K-Rock.
I said the opposite. So, I said I don't commemorate my birthday.
K-Rock.com. One guy sent him a butt picture, which he was very happy about.
I don't
so
need
maybe
that.
You
I don't
got any of those
like
laying
that
around, fellas? You can send him a butt picture.
Nope.
Or you can tweet him at Clyde Tumbaugh on Twitter, and he's just the guy, you know, he had his birthday over the weekend, so we didn't get a chance to celebrate properly here on the show. So he's,
please continue
he's
to ignore
aching
it.
Aching for a little birthday attention, if you could just take care of that for me. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Monsters and Men, one of the bands playing K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th at the Forum, just announced this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Get all the details at K-Rock.com. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. There are very few people listening to this program right now who can remember a time before the James Bond films were in the theaters. Over 50 years of 007, and they're just getting bigger and better than ever. Skyfall, the last one, the biggest one so far. We'll see where Spectre goes. It's already made over $500 million. And the man who plays James Bond himself joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, actor Daniel Craig. Hey, Mr. Craig, how are you, sir?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
It is a pleasure to talk to you. I always wonder, when you play a role like James Bond, does it affect the way people interact with you when they meet you? Just even on the street, I suspect that they treat you a little differently than they would if you were doing different kinds of movies.
I suppose they do. I'd be sitting, you know, having a coffee somewhere, and at 10 o'clock in the morning, and someone might send me over a vodka martini, which is, it's like, if it was 10 o'clock in the morning, at least for another half an hour, I'd start drinking. So it's like,
right, exactly. That sounds like a pretty nice perk, though. I mean, nobody is going to screw with Daniel Craig because they've seen what you can do on the screen. So I imagine you're pretty safe even walking through the dodgiest parts of town.
Well, I don't know. Look, I just pretend to be this person. I'm not that person in real life. I'm as far away from that as it's possible to get.
Because sometimes
it's a good role to play.
Sometimes Daniel Craig just wants to put on a white tank top and a pair of sweats and just have a day, right?
That happens quite a lot.
I like it.
It's happening. It's going to happen very soon. So once we finish the promotional tour, that's exactly what I'll be doing. Yes.
Yes. Well, you have earned it, because I know how much time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears you put into making these movies. And I've seen Spectre, as much of America has. And I'm just – look, the opening scenes of James Bond movies are among the best in show business, and they always have been. But I think you have outdone yourself with this scene at the beginning of Spectre with you in the helicopter over Mexico City. And I just I sat there trying to imagine how you even filmed that thing. And I know your director, Sam Mendes, is some sort of a genius. But, I mean, was there actually a helicopter that you were ever in, Daniel? Were you ever actually in Mexico City? How much of this is real and how much of this is they're doing magic?
Look, there's a tradition of Bond movies is to keep it as real as possible. And, you know, we use CGI, but use it sparingly, and especially in the opening sequence. There was obviously some big technical things that we had to sort of technical problems we had to get over, but we were allowed to film in the center of Mexico. We were allowed to fly helicopters 30 feet off the ground and do extraordinary things, and having a backdrop of thousands of extras. I get my face into it as much as possible. I was in a helicopter, for a time, and then there's just stuff that I'm not allowed to do. I'm just not allowed to sort of, you know, because of, you know, there's a huge insurance risk. I work with an amazing bunch of people who you know, they can do the job and make it, you know, look good. Then that's what we do. But it is it's as real as it can be. That's the truth of it.
It just must be, I mean, even for you, a guy who's there for the principal filming, then when you see it in the screening room later, even you must be surprised with how incredible it looks.
Honestly, with that opening sequence, I had no idea how it was going to come together. I mean, that scene probably took 3 months to shoot, all in all.
Wow.
And I would drop into it. come in and drop in and do my stuff, and then you know drop out again. But they were filming down in Mexico for a long time to get everything to come together. So you're never absolutely 100% what's going to happen. But I was blown away by it.
Do you think that that girl is still in the hotel room in Mexico waiting for Bond to return?
I hope so.
We're talking to actor Daniel Craig about the film Spectre, number one at the box office again this weekend. When you take on a role like James Bond, and I know you gave it a lot of serious consideration before you said yes, because you know it is a life-changing job. And a lot of actors are scared of that because they want to be able to melt into every part. I'm always curious, is this the kind of franchise, Mr. Craig, where there's a fraternity of Bonds? Do you talk to and or hang out with or interact, communicate with Roger Moore, Sean Connery, people like that, or no?
Do you have a book club?
No, there's a lovely sort of fantasy that we all get together in a secret meeting once a year, but it actually doesn't happen. I think the truth of it is, I mean, look, I've met Roger and I've met Piers, and they're lovely guys, and I'm a big fan of all of them. You know, each of those individuals has given the role something special, but I think the last thing any of us really want to do is talk about James Bond.
Interesting. Now, I've seen in some of the press you did for Spectre that you want to take a vacation. You certainly earned that. But next year you have Shakespeare on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be playing
in New York.
Yeah, you're going to be Iago, right, in Othello. What is it 400-plus years later that keeps having so many actors want to go back to Shakespeare? We were just having this conversation recently, not to drop a name, but with Patrick Stewart when he was in studio, and he says there's just nothing like it. It's the greatest words ever written, and he likes doing that more than anything else in his whole career. What is it about Shakespeare that is so appealing to actors?
Well, I think he might be right. I mean, I think when it was written, it was part of the the Age of Enlightenment. It was when individuality and people started actually thinking about kind of the human condition, and it was just the right time, the right place, and the right person who started putting this down. And you know, you have to remember, he was writing these plays like we make movies now, for the audience. It's the only people you're doing it for. You're not doing it for the critics. You're not doing it for anything higher than that. It's just to get to the audience. And he was also writing them on the hoof. He was writing things down as they were doing the play. During the play, he would be writing lines because they were kept up to date, and you know they've endured. I can't wait to do it. There's a lot of words to learn, but I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest parts in any of his plays, right? I mean,
I think it is the biggest. I think. Yeah.
That's what makes it, such a challenge. I mean, I guess if you go home at the end of that night's performance off Broadway, you can go, man, I've really accomplished something that I got through that.
You've earned the sweatpants.
Well, I hope so if I get through it, yes.
Well, we'll look forward to that. That's going to be the end of 2016. It goes without saying that everybody listening should go see Spectre if you haven't already, because it is an amazing ride at the movies. It's James Bond the way you want your James Bond to be. And Daniel, you are a great James Bond, and we love your work over the last four movies. And I was very surprised to hear you were making yourself available to come on the program, but we really enjoyed talking to you. Have a great day, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you.
There's another of the great acts you'll see at K-Rock's Almost Christmas 2015, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and the 13th at the Forum, just announced this morning here on K-Rock. Details at krock.com. Tickets going on sale Friday at noon. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us in about 15 minutes. I don't follow football anymore, you guys.
Oh, you don't? How come?
It's interesting, Allie, that you, the Patriots fan, mm-hmm. and Chip, you, the Dolphins fan, are still invested in that sport, but I don't really follow it anymore. I did until around 9 o'clock last night, and now I don't. Yeah. Friday was a tough day around the world for any human living on Earth. Heavy hearts as we saw the news coming out of Paris, just these senseless terror attacks. And you know what the worst part is, besides the fact that obviously we all now live in fear and lots of people got killed, is that I don't even know what the point of it is. I don't even know what how is this battle being waged? What is it that ISIS is trying to do by killing us? What's the goal? Is the goal to kill everybody in the world who's not Muslim? Is the goal to just ruin our lives and make us live in fear? I don't even understand what the point of it is. Like, what is accomplished by that?
I think they're accomplishing the fear aspect pretty well.
They definitely are
well.
Accomplishing that.
Yeah.
But obviously there are lots of repercussions as a result of an attack like that that happened in Paris on Friday night. U2 was in town. They were scheduled to perform live. and it was a show that was supposed to be taped for HBO. Bono made a call to an Irish radio station, 2FM, to talk about the event and the healing power of music and what's next.
I think music is very very important. I think you two has a role to play, and I can't wait till we get back to Paris and play. And that's what we're feeling from the messages we're getting from music fans, is these people will not set our agenda. They'll not organize our lives for us. And I remember U2 was the first sort of big act back into New York after 9/11. We played Madison Square Gardens, and the feeling was just unbelievable. And it's and the feeling was, this is who we are. You can't change us. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to turn us into haters, or you're not going to turn us around in the way we go about our lives.
Coldplay was in Los Angeles on Friday night at the Belasco Theater. They were doing a show for K-Rock and K-Rock listeners that was supposed to be streamed on Tidal. They made the decision on Friday afternoon to postpone that show. We'll have information coming soon about when that repeat performance will be. But they did do something special for the fans, and our own Kat Corbett from K-Rock was there. Hey, Kat, welcome to the show, my dear. How are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're fine. Great of you to join us. So Friday night, when did you, A, get the awful news out of Paris, and B, find out what the change was going to be in schedule with Coldplay?
I got the news just as I was ending my show on Friday. So I was walking out, and then it was just started coming in. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wasn't in the mood to go out that night. I had no idea. When I got there, I found out that Coldplay almost canceled the performance that night. But I had no idea. I just still wasn't in the mood to go out.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, I mean, there's part of you that wants to just go home and watch it just because you hope it's not real, or you hope that they're going to find the guys, you hope there's going to be anything, you know, any bright spots that's going to make you feel better. And part of it is just, you're right, you're not in the mood to make it a Friday night out on the town. At first, I was surprised to hear that Coldplay wasn't going to go through, and then I thought, you know what, especially with this new album, this Head Full of Stars, this is their joyous comeback album. This is their dance album. This is their fun album. This is their let loose, let's party album. And they weren't just in that headspace at all Friday night. I don't think it would have been a good performance had they tried to do what they originally planned to do. Do you?
No. I mean, I am sure that they played the Bataclan at least in the double digits when they were coming up. Every band has. Every band that we play on K-Rock has passed through that venue and played. I mean, look, being if I were in Paris that night, I would have gone to see Eagles of Death Metal. I love that band.
Yeah.
You know? So it was, I understood why they were very close to canceling, but then when they didn't, I was kind of happy because I felt like I couldn't watch the news anymore, and I really needed to be somewhere that meant something. And the fact that these, you know, wankers hit a place that in my mind is the most pure, which is a live concert venue where it's just, you know, you go to have fun and fall in love and make friends, was really, it was overwhelming. And I was super conscious while I was standing there that it's the same size room as the Bataclan, and that the same thing could have happened. And it made me so angry. I was just like, wow, you know, and the Eagles of Death Metal, a lot of the newscasters, you know, of course they latched onto the death metal name, and there couldn't be a band that loves to dance and has more fun and wants you to have more fun at their show. And I feel so bad for those guys. I don't know how they're going to get back on stage again.
I don't either. I mean, you're right. They're absolutely just a party band. And some of what I heard over the weekend suggested, Kat, and tell me if this lines up with what you heard, is that's part of the reason why that band, that venue and that time and that night was picked, is because these were, they thought, partiers, you know, Western partiers listening to this, you know, godless rock and roll music. And that's part of why they chose that performance.
Well, I think it's definitely part of it. I mean, look, they want to blast us back to the Stone Age is really, you know, where they're coming from. But I just found out last night, I was reading something, and I'm not sure if it's true, but that the venue had held a pro-Israeli fundraiser or something like a week before. And I guess, you know, they have Jewish owners. So, you know, it all comes back down to religion, you know, and perhaps that was the reason why that venue is a target. I don't know. But,
right.
You know, look, Deftones were in that room 15 minutes before that thing started.
Yeah.
You know, this hits home. Like, Dan Auerbach was just down the street with his other band, the Arcs, playing, and he was like, it could have happened here. Why didn't it happen here? Like, you know, it's really frightening.
It is. It's terrifying, and especially in a city like Los Angeles, because you feel like, you hate to say this out loud, but, I mean, you're more of a target in Los Angeles than you would be in Fargo. You know, I mean, it's something, certainly something to, like Ali said earlier, you need to always be aware as much as you can be of what's going on around you. Let's talk about Coldplay for a minute, because they did decide to do something very cool, because the news came in so late and so close to stage time that they decided to not just do nothing. They decided to do something special for people who were coming down anyway. Tell us about the nightcap.
Well, it started, they came out, and we all knew, everybody, the audience, who were told that this wasn't the true performance. I mean, in fact, they didn't even stream it, I don't think, on Tidal. The camera guys weren't working. So they came out, and, you know, this song, a lot of people mock and say it's a cliche, but I don't think there's any other appropriate song in this situation. They came out and did Lennon's Imagine, mm-hmm. Stripped-down version of it, and it was kind of dead silence, and that's all you could do to open. And then they ended up going into a bunch of old songs. They went into Sparks off their first record, which is one of my favorites, and I don't think they've played that song in almost a decade. But.
Yeah. Yeah, and they were looking for songs sonically that fit and songs that had messages that might be helpful and uplifting, right?
Yeah, so they did Yellow, they did Till Kingdom Come, they did Us Against the World, which was from Milo Xylo, they did Fix You, and they ended with O. And so it was just a really, I was with a crew, we were ready to throw down that night.
Yeah.
We were ready to go party with Coldplay afterwards. And regret it the next day because of how bad our hangovers were. And, you know, we just kind of like, I didn't really talk to anybody at the show. I just watched the show. I didn't take any pictures. It wasn't appropriate. And I just left. We all just left and went
home. Yeah, because your head is so busy and your heart is so heavy on a day like that. I mean, it's just, it's hard to wrap your head around the type of people who would do something like this. But it sounds like Coldplay helped, which is nice, because I'm sure that
really
was their intention.
They really did. I'm glad they didn't fully cancel. I'm sure it was very difficult for them. I mean, I'm sure they, you know, everybody knew somebody in that room. Or some, you know, via one degree of separation.
Of course.
You know, the guy who did the merch, Nick Alexander, who passed away, he has toured with, Fall Out Boy,
Chains, yeah.
Sum 41, and, you know, there's so many people I know. I have friends that, you know, do lighting and sound that have played that venue a million times. The gal who did the lights at the Bataclan, she was one of the victims. So, you know, for Coldplay, it was probably really close to home.
Right.
And but the fact that they went on, I thought it was very cathartic. I thought it was good for all of us.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you sharing that with us. And we'll have an announcement very soon on the rescheduled title stream of that concert that they're going to do, which will be coming up very, very soon. All right, Kat, we'll let you get ready to come to work. We'll see you around 10 o'clock. Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm going back to bed.
World famous K-Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, it is. Monday mornings, we talk to our friend Andrew Siciliano. He's the host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Andrew, I almost don't know where to begin. It seemed to me like one of the strangest NFL Sundays I have ever seen for so many reasons.
Okay, like the fact that six Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks lost, like that one.
Okay, when you come up with a stat like that, yeah, that's the kind of week that it was. It was crazy. I want to start with a little bit of the sad news, because if anyone's ever had an elderly dog that you've had to put down, you'll know what the decision is to make about Peyton Manning. But, I mean, the truth of the matter is that they need to put him down, right? They need to send him to heaven.
Well, I did find it interesting that Gary Kubiak, the coach who benched him yesterday after, I think he went, Interception, three and out. I don't think he got a first down. I could be wrong. Maybe there might have been one in there. Said that he's mad at himself, basically. He shouldn't have played him, and that he was benching him to protect him. I'm not trying to come up with the excuse, you know.
What's wrong with him? He's hurt, right, Andrew? What's wrong with him?
He's very hurted, one would assume. It's a rib. He also has something called plantar fasciitis, which if you've had it in the sole of your foot and your arch, it can be debilitating. He allegedly has it on his right foot. fantasy football players, even if you have him in your roster, and I was told by a friend yesterday, dude, I'm in two leagues, and he's a free agent in both. He's probably, I would guess he's not going to play this.
You think he's just for this week, or you think he's done for the year?
No, I would be shocked if he's done for the year. They're probably going to have to put the other guy, Brock Osweiler, because of injury, and he's going to keep the seat warm until Peyton comes back. I can't even imagine a scenario where Brock Osweiler comes out and, let's say, throws 18 touchdown passes, and they say, it's your job, we're not putting Peyton back in.
No, Peyton's their quarterback.
Peyton Manning, it's his final year. Unless he says, I can't go because of my health, he's going to be back out there eventually.
But a 0.0 quarterback rating.
Right. Now, here's the crazy thing. Everyone has a bad day, right?
Sure.
I mean, Drew Brees is a bad day. Aaron Rodgers has a bad day. Even Dreamboat Tom Brady, Allie, has a bad day.
He did yesterday.
He did. Well, he had a pedestrian day, but he still won the game at the end.
It was terrible for Tom.
Oh, horrible for you. I can't imagine the end.
must be so awful to only be undefeated.
Awful. Jeez, Peyton Manning had a 0.0 rating yesterday, which is some convoluted stat that someone came up with years ago to determine efficiency. He had never had worse than a 39, and that was his rookie year. Everyone has a bad day. He, even in his worst day, which was a 6-interception game against the Chargers in 07, he still didn't even have a rating that poor.
Unbelievable. All right, a lot of ground to cover. A couple of weeks ago, the Broncos were still undefeated. We were all amazed. A couple of weeks ago, the Packers were undefeated. We were all amazed. Now they've lost 3 in a row, and they lost at Lambeau to Detroit. What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? What's going on with the Green Bay Packers?
I don't think they even have an answer. I was the one all last week saying, calm down. The Packers lost on the road to undefeated teams in consecutive weeks. There's not a lot of shame in that. No big deal. Mm-hmm. But then they went home yesterday and they lost to a team that had not won in their building since 1991. Hook was the number one movie, and Matthew Stafford, the Lions quarterback, was 3 at the time.
NFL Network's been doing some research for Andrew this morning.
Yeah, that was our DirecTV guys yesterday. They were digging that up. They had like 18 of them. I think I can't take all of them. Give me like 2. I mean, the fact that Hook was ever number one is bad enough.
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer. They benched Eddie Lacy yesterday, who we knew was banged up, and we knew during the weekend lost his job. He didn't even dress. So, look.
It's just falling apart. The wheels are just coming off the wagon there in Green Bay.
Well, but the crazy thing is they get the Vikings this week. The Vikings are now alone in first. The Minnesota Vikings are 7-2. They've won 7 of 9. No one's ever noticed them. So if they could beat the Vikings this week, they're right back in it. But the flip side of that is if they lose to the Vikings, they are legitimately fighting for a wild card.
Let's talk about 7-2 teams, and I'm sorry Kevin is not here today to brag about his Arizona Cardinals, but they did so many things right last night. There's so much pressure for them. They really have had a monkey on their back playing in Seattle against their division rivals, the Seahawks, but they handled them. I mean, it was an exciting game, but what's wrong with the Seahawks, do you think? This was supposed to be the reset. Okay, we're 4-4, but this is second half. We're off a bye week. Now it gets serious. What's wrong with my team, Andrew?
Is that game over? That game went like 9 hours, didn't it?
Yeah, it was 3 hours and 53 minutes for a regular season game.
And it felt double that length. Look, the Cardinals should have put them away in the first half. They had so many chances. There was a botched officiating thing on a safety as well. I mean, that thing felt like it should be 30-0 before halftime. It wasn't. And then Seattle came back and made all the plays and, you know, give Carson Palmer the credit. He then did the same. Arizona is just flat out a better team. Period. End of discussion.
I agree.
They are a better team. The records show it. And here's the crazy thing that happened last night. I'm not suggesting that Richard Sherman is a fraud or anything like that. They are very good football players who are not having a good year. But Carson Palmer was able to make plays on those corners. He went at Richard Sherman. He also went at Kerry Williams, who's the newest member of the Legion of Boom. It proves you just can't plug parts in and expect the same results. But he went right down the field at him and at Seattle, for that matter. Now, remember, they won being up there in 2013 when Palmer was healthy. He didn't play in either game last year. So Carson Palmer is the difference maker right now. He outplayed everyone else, and they won, and they're going to win that division. I'm sorry.
Well, the Seahawks are three games behind, and I feel like, and I announced when we came on the air this morning, I thought the pressure's off now because the Seahawks just aren't going to make the playoffs, right? So I don't really have to sweat the rest of the year.
Well, consider this. You may very well see a playoff in which the Cowboys are out. Matter of fact, they are. The Seahawks are out. Who else? The Ravens, who I know they're not a big market team, but a lot of people, many people, picked the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. They're out. The Baltimore number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And the playoffs, as they do every single year, if there's anything that's consistent, it's turnover in the playoffs. They're going to look vastly, vastly different. Because, oh, by
and
the
that's,
way, help-
and that's good news for the NFL. I mean, they want parity, right? I mean, that's
sure.
great for the that's great for the league.
Sure. It's also great when the Cowboys get in, but they so rarely do. I don't know why anyone ever expects it anymore.
It was weird. Anything you want to say about the Giants-Patriots game? That was the coolest game of the week, right?
It was by far. I mean, it was everything. I tweeted with about 2 minutes to go after the Giants scored, and they mismanaged that whole thing. They could have eaten more clock and given Tom less time to make
Allen
happy.
You don't give Tom a minute 47 to march down
no.
the field.
No, a minute 47, granted, with no timeouts and with Julian Edelman on crutches.
Yeah, he broke his foot, right?
Yeah,
he could be done for the year. He's probably back in the playoffs, but it's the exact same injury, although I'm not a doctor, that Dez Bryant had week one, and so he took till, what, week eight? That's how long it's probably going to be. But
all I know is that our man in Las Vegas, RJ Bell, that we have on every Friday mm-hmm. with his picks, for the second week in a row has gone 0-3. So it is not an easy task picking winners in the NFL. It's just,
no.
It's not.
No, because everything, look, this sounds, again, cliched, but I always tell people that everything you think you know when you wake up Sunday morning, chances are by the end of the day, you know nothing.
That's right. That's a good message to leave us with. Andrew Siciliano, look for him on Around the NFL and the NFL Network this afternoon at 3, and of course every Sunday on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. We love you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Likewise.
Cold War Kids, one of 22 acts playing across two nights at the Forum, December 12th and 13th, the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Details announced earlier this morning. You can get them at krock.com. By the way, Ralph, a lot of listeners, more than a few, have written, Facebooked, or tweeted me to ask which night I am planning on my patented stage fall.
Oh, and good question.
I would just like to say, it's best if that's left a surprise. I think there's too much pressure on me if it's advertised in advance.
Come on, you're a professional, man.
I know, but I still...
Oh, there he goes. Well,
count
you
on
missed
that
it,
element
folks.
Of surprise.
You missed it.
So at some point, I'll be too close to the edge of the stage. You definitely will not want to miss that. Buy your tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. All right, very talented singer, actress, comedian, web star, now TV star, Rachel Bloom joins us just after 9. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's going on?
If it makes folks feel any better, night one... I will push Bean off the stage. Okay,
oh,
so you can count
nice.
On it. You can count at least night one knowing
hey,
that he will go.
It's a solo act, man. I don't need any help.
All right, fine, whatever. Just don't look my way. That's what I'm saying, because just turn your back and everything will take care of itself. Don't worry about it. I got you. I got you covered, listeners who want to see Bean plummet. That was crazy. That was crazy. That was a crazy thing. Do we have that? Do we have that audio of Jed the Fish? Laughing hysterically as
being
plummeted
off the
stage.
Oh, I don't think we need that.
Come on, you brought it up. The kids love it. They like to relive that moment when you were talking and then you just disappeared.
Well, I have this short.
Who fell off the stage?
I don't know if I have the longer version. I think that may be on your end.
I have it. You want it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it,
Chip.
Rodney, what's next, my friend?
Like,
all
there's
right,
a shortage
here we go.
Of microphones.
What a place here.
Oh.
Who fell off the stage?
Anyway.
You know, we have important rock and roll to conduct
forum.
Tonight.
This is where it all happens.
Well, please, will you welcome No Doubt?
No Doubt.
Yeah.
Oh, Bean.
Nobody was happier than Rodney that night, buddy. Right?
I want to hear Rodney and Jed host everything together.
Me too.
They are a well-oiled machine.
They are.
You can hear that tape. You can hear the audience going, oh.
Yeah.
The ones that saw it.
Yeah. All I know is Bean carted off. Dave Grohl got back on stage and finished the show. That's all. I'm just trying to compare the two. Busted up leg. I hurt my coccyx.
His what?
Coccyx.
Is that what it was?
He bruised his coccyx.
Oh.
Yeah, it was bad, you guys. Yeah.
How is your coccyx these days?
I don't like to talk about it.
Well, no one wants to talk about your coccyx, but I think we have to.
Still bad.
Still bad coccyx?
I fear it is lifelong pain, and I still have nightmares frequently about the fall and about the aftermath.
Well,
so thanks for bringing it up.
You sucked all the fun out of that bit right there, didn't you?
It's no fun. All right. Yeah. All right. It was a serious injury.
Yeah. We're going to call you Dr. Good Times from now on. Stop by the office of Dr. Good Times for just a big booster shot of fun.
That's what I'm famous for.
The doctor is in. Well, you're a joy to behold.
Well, you asked how it was.
Well,
was
play along.
I've never been better.
I'm fine. It was nothing.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
It was a colossal disaster. Today's celebrity birthdays. No,
well,
let's do some news. What do you say? Top 10 movies at the box office since it's Monday morning. Spectre, $35.4 million. Just on this very show was Mr. Daniel Craig, James Bond himself. And I must say, I've never heard him more jovial.
Right? He was delightful.
Charming, witty, urbane. Laugh a minute.
I feel like maybe today is the last day of his Spectre duties. Like, this is it.
He's in the home
stretch.
Done.
Like, he's on vacation now.
Yeah,
you know?
So he's a little giddy.
Maybe so.
Anyways, charming. Great interview. If you missed it, you can iPod it or whatever the kids
iPod
do.
iPod it. Sure. Sure.
You know, put it on your
Thanks,
iPod.
Gramps.
Put it in your Walkman. And just turn it up to 11 or whatever it is you kids do.
You can iPod it.
We're all struggling today.
Put it on your iPod. Spectre made $35.4 million this weekend, making it still number one at the box office. The Peanuts movie was inexplicably number two with $24.2 million. Love the Coopers debuted to $8.4 million. That made it number three. The Martian and 33 were their top five at the box office. Then Goosebumps, The Bridge of Spies, Prem Ratan Dahan Payo, in its debut, made $2.4 million. That's a Bollywood film, for those of you who aren't familiar with the title. Here's a little scene from that film.
You sure?
Real film. Yeah.
Really?
A little scene from the film. Huh. Hotel Transylvania 2. And then The Last Witch Hunter, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. Jared Leto is a man of many talents. Of course, he's an actor, musician. But did you know he can climb almost anything?
No.
He's like a spider monkey, this kid.
Huh.
New York Post reports that he was in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, over the weekend when he stunned fellow guests at his swanky hotel when he just scaled a rock wall in front of the hotel. Just looked at it and just shot right up.
Well,
he made it up to the top in no time. Just scurried like Spider-Man right up the wall.
He does seem very healthy and very athletic. So
yes.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I have no idea.
The only answer, the only question, rather, still raised is why?
Yeah, it wasn't an actual rock wall that you climbed. Just a wall made out of rock.
And he went, zoop, went to the top.
Well, look at
I
that.
I believe Mr. Leto will be joining us later this week on the Kevin
Well,
Bean
there
show.
You go.
Perhaps
we can ask him about it. Let alone in the news. Lindsay's confused. I think she needs one of those calendars that gives you a list of official holidays. Because she celebrated Marilyn Manson's birthday last Thursday. Not Marilyn Manson, excuse me, Charles Manson's birthday.
Okay.
Very different.
Very different. Charles Manson's birthday last Thursday. By dressing up as one of his most famous victims.
Oh.
Yeah, Lindsay dressed up as Sharon Tate on Instagram, saying how much she loved the late actress. She said it was her theme look. She hashtagged it hippie winter chic in celebration of Charlie Manson's birthday. Many of her online followers were understandably confused and many of them upset, one calling the shot so disrespectful on so many levels. No word on why Lindsay thought she needed to dress up to commemorate that particular day.
I don't think Charles Manson is a guy whose birthday you celebrate.
No. No. Though it's funny, though, when you think of the recent events over the weekend and Friday. Remember the good old days when, like, crazies like Manson were all we had to worry about?
Yeah.
They'd be like a one-off lunatic that you could put behind bars and feel better about society and say, okay, you know what? We're getting a handle on this thing.
Yeah.
And now it's just madness, just spun out of control.
he's a mass murderer who killed like four people.
Right, and now he's like, oh, I wish we had the days of that mass murderer back. The good old days where he was just on his own.
Yeah,
and you could put one guy behind behind bars and feel safer. But those days are gone. Some BS. Today's celebrity birthdays. SNL's Pete Davidson is 22 years old today. Maggie Gyllenhaal celebrates her 38th birthday.
Sad turtle.
Yes. Yes, Bean. Some have said she looks like a sad turtle. Happy birthday, Maggie. That was Bean's tribute to you. Missy Pyle's 43. She's a funny lady. And Marg Helgenberger celebrates her 57th birthday today, of course, from CSI. All these stars born on today, November 16th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That is Halsey. And if I remember correctly, I think she's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show within the next few days as well. Get a chance to meet her. She's on night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, Sunday, December 13th at the Forum. Details just announced this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, and you can find them at krock.com. It has been almost 2 years till the day that Rachel Bloom was last on the Kevin and Bean Show, executive producer, writer, and actress of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW with a new episode tonight at 8. Rachel, welcome back, my dear.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be back here.
I couldn't believe it when I realized, I looked it up last night, that it had been 2 years since you ran. It feels like, I mean, time's speeding up. I feel like it was like 6 months ago.
It's really weird because I walked into the office and I like remembered where everything was and I was only I was only here for like an hour. But that's how wonderful your office is.
So we had you in 2013, right when your Hanukkah album came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were at that time very successful with all of your music videos and your stuff on YouTube. And then, I mean, the dream of a lot of people is to get a TV show.
Yeah.
Was that a dream of yours, or did they come to you and insist that you go on broadcast television because you were so popular on the internet?
Yeah, you know, it's like I was just doing the internet stuff for fun. My real passion is crocheting. actually, right when I came on this show 2 years ago, we had just sold the pilot script for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. And so it's been, you know, a two and a half year process. And that's, look, my ultimate dream was to have a musical television show. It's a dream that I did not know would ever come true. It's the whole thing has been so amazing and unbelievable. I mean, I go to work every day and it feels like I'm in some sort of weird dream.
Yeah. I would imagine that it is a tough sell for some executives in this town when you put the word musical in your pitch. Like,
yeah.
Some people just don't want to have anything. Even with the success of shows like Glee, there are some people who just don't want to have anything to do with it, right? Because they just feel like it's too niche, I would think.
I think they feel a number of things. I think people associate musicals with being, you know, cheesy. I mean, the golden age of musicals was the 40s through the 60s. And so a lot of what people know about musical theater comes from that era. And now some of it can seem kind of like, you know, cheesy and dated. But it's interesting because the musical, the musical theater, it's an American art form. I mean, it really was honed and developed in America. So it's something that we should be patriotic and proud of. I like
it. Which only goes so far if it's not funny or enjoyable or entertaining, which is kind of how you made your bones, is you kind of turn musicals upside down by making contemporary songs with lots of dirty words in them.
Yeah, and that came from my love of musical theater and also my love of sketch comedy and wanting to marry them a bit more and starting out as a musical theater performer and looking for just funny audition songs and being like, oh, there is just nothing funny for women out here.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so it came from that frustration a little bit of like, I want to make a song that like is funny to me that'll be funny to perform. 'Cause I really do think when done right, music is one of the most efficient forms of joke telling. It's
yeah,
one of the most
absolutely.
Efficient joke delivery devices you have.
Absolutely. All right. So where did the germ of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend come from? What was it that made you think, ooh, there's a show?
Well, I've been doing a lot of music videos that kind of take happy genres and make them about a sadder scenario, or sadder, a more realistic scenario. And there's always kind of like a darkness and sadness underneath all the happy. And one of my videos, it's an animated video called Disney Cartoons Were Historically Accurate, which I released about 5-6 months before I came on your show. I was seen by my co-creator, Lynn Brosh McKenna, who's a brilliant, brilliant screenwriter. She wrote The Devil Wears Prada, 27 Dresses. She's unbelievable, and she was procrastinating and saw my videos. And the next thing I know, I got an email saying, Lynn Brosh McKenna and CBS want to meet with you to talk about a musical television show.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And so we got into the meeting. It was like a blind date. It was the best blind date I've ever had. And she and I were talking about you know, what would be a good idea for a musical television show, a television show with original comedy songs. And we were trying mm-hmm. to think of heightened, really emotional scenarios, because musical theater is really best when you're using really extreme emotion. And Elaine had had an idea for a movie called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a movie from a woman's perspective about how everyone's been a crazy ex, or everyone's had a crazy ex, about how love makes us crazy, kind of a flip on a romantic comedy. And so we left that meeting knowing we were going to make a dark romantic comedy musical called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
When I saw the words crazy and ex-girlfriend in the title, I thought, well, that's redundant, first of all. But then I wonder...
Yeah, no, wondered, no one liked it.
Then I wondered, Rachel, if you ran into people who didn't like the title because they thought it was some sort of a stereotype or God forbid, even anti-feminist.
Yeah, absolutely. And from the beginning, we were seeing it from such a feminist female point of view that we always saw it as like we're taking a stereotype and deconstructing it. And I see that if you know nothing about the show, and especially because we're on a broadcast network, you would think that we're just doing the stereotype. But mm-hmm. it's all the difference in the world that the show isn't called My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. We're not labeling her as an other. We're inviting you into her mind and into her world. And so, yeah, there have been people who just see the title kind of at face value for what it is. And the second they see the show, though, they're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was at all. So if you watch 2 seconds of our show, chances are one of the words is either going to be like vagina or period. and you're like, wait, okay, this isn't what I thought it was going to be.
You know, it's so interesting because my experience has been that people on the internet are very reasonable, and they hold back and they wait and see before they criticize. But that hasn't been your experience with people who reached out to you, for instance, on social media before the show aired. You were already getting haters, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the funniest thing was we were all over New York, and as a former New Yorker, you know, the biggest form of flattery you can get is your subway ads being graffitied. And what I was expecting, like, you know, my character having genitalia drawn on, which is, sure, like, the norm for anything. But it was interesting. A lot of it appeared to be, like, college students who'd just taken gender studies 101 putting up like paragraphs of misspelled kind of feminist discourse on the posters, Friends of Semi. And it's interesting just because, like, completely valid points about that label, knowing nothing about what the show is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just takes, and now it's, I see TV shows in a different way, where if I see a TV show with like a title that I think looks stupid or a poster that I think looks stupid or whatever, I now am way less quick to judge it because I'm like, well, I don't know what that is. That could be anything. And yeah.
You know, the show that comes to mind in recent years that was the best show that turned more people off with the bad title was Cougar Town. Everybody, yes, thought they knew what Cougar Town was going to be, but you watch that show and you go, wow, that's a really funny show.
Yep. Yep.
There were no cougars.
No cougars at
no
all.
No cougars at all.
Not
I mean,
one.
Another show that was a great show was there was a show called Better Off Ted.
Oh, yes. I love that show.
It was a great show.
With Portia de Rossi.
Yeah. Had nothing to really do with the title. Now,
I was legitimately sad when that show was canceled, by the way.
It was a really good show. But here's the thing is, I actually really love our title because I have always known that I think it's the only title this show could ever have, because the whole show is about deconstructing stereotypes and looking at the nuance of what we think we know. And so I think it's a great title, and I wouldn't choose another title for it ever.
Rachel Bloom is here. She is executive producer, writer, and actress of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is on the CW Monday nights at 8. There's a new episode on tonight. When we come back, we're going to learn a little bit about Rebecca Bunch, who moves to West Covina because it's only 2 hours from the beach.
Yes.
Well, 4 hours with traffic. More with Rachel right after this on K-Rock. Cage the Elephant, by the way, a great live band. You will see them night number one at the Forum December 12th, 2015 for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Just announced this morning. Get your details at K-Rock.com and buy your tickets Friday at noon. It is going to be a great show. Rachel Bloom is here. She is the executive producer, writer, and actress star of one of the best new shows of the fall season. It's on the CW. It's called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Let's talk a little bit about Rebecca Bunch. How much of this is you? How much of this is made up, Rachel?
Oh, God. Some days it's like 85%, other days it's 20. I mean, it's very heavily based on me and my co-creator. It's kind of a mix of us. And because we do so much improv in the show, the character has become more and more like me, especially when we filmed the pilot. On the page, she didn't come off quite as sunny. And when I actually did the character, there was kind of just a lighthearted, even though she is an anti-hero, there was a lightheartedness that came across when we actually put it on its feet. So it's me and yeah. Aline and other people we've known.
Rebecca is an attorney who decides to chuck her promising law career and follow a boy.
Yes.
To, of all places in the world, West Covina, California. Now, is this the first TV show that has ever been set in the San Gabriel Valley?
I think it is.
Wow.
Unless anyone wants to correct me, but I don't think there was anything like The Passions of Azusa lately.
That sounds delightful.
I have Passions of Azusa.
Meet you on Foothill. What have you been hearing from West Covina?
They must be
freaking out.
West Covinans are really happy. Here's the one thing. They take umbrage a little bit with the 2 hours from the beach. Here's my response to that. Because we say there's a whole running joke in the show where it's like it's 2 hours from the beach, 2 hours from the beach. Okay, first of all, yes, that is for comedic emphasis. But second of all, they're like, no, it's 45 minutes from the beach. Sure, guys, it's 45 minutes from the beach at 2 a.m. when there's no traffic. But when you want to go to the beach, which is on a weekend, and whether you're taking the 57 or the 10, it's going to be a long, long time. You're going to be stuck in traffic because I know how long it takes to get from my house in Los Feliz to West Covina. And then I know how long it takes for me to get in Los Feliz to the beach. And that alone on a weekend for me is an hour, hour and a half. And so anyway,
You've done the math, is what we're saying.
I've done the math. And when it matters, it's a lot longer than 45 minutes, but also we're a comedy show, and 2 hours from the beach is a funny thing to say.
And if you want to tell yourself you're 45 minutes from the beach, feel free. You're allowed to. It's okay. All right. I have a clip from the show. I think this is from the pilot of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and this is an outstanding explanation of the thought processes that's going on in Rachel's head as she realized what she's done with this cross-country move. She's talking to a coworker who's just accused her of following this boy across the country.
So you're saying that I moved here from New York and I left behind a job that would have paid me $545,000 a year for a guy who still skateboards? I did not do that. Here's what happened. I was in New York. I ran into Josh. He made me feel warm inside, like glitter was exploding inside me. Then I moved here. I did not move here because of Josh, because that would be crazy, and I am not crazy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. No, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Stop it. Oh my god, I'm crazy. You're in love.
And it's weird because like that wasn't even the show. That was just them like secretly recording me like in the bathroom in the mornings. Am I crazy? I'm not crazy. Yeah.
I did
What's
that an hour ago.
Musical number you've done so far on the show.
Oh God. Oh, that's like choosing my favorite child. Probably, you know, there's a musical number we did in episode 4 that when we found out the show, when we thought the show wasn't going to go originally, I was like, but we'll never get to do this one. And it's a black and white Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers type number called Settle For Me. That's a duet with my character and the character Greg. And it's a tap number. And I think it's a really good combination of it's everything we ever wanted to do with the show. It's commentary on relationships. And it has like modern comedy sensibility, but also a real throwback to, you know, classic musicals.
And that's the day where you go, I can't believe this is my job. This
yeah, that was I'm a crazy a day. I mean, and then seeing that on TV being like, oh, my God, I can't believe a network is letting us do this. It's unbelievable.
So sorry, Bean, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't know very much about TV. You're the expert, but black and white clips of ballroom dancing is how you get the kids on the CW.
I was going to say, you know, we're hitting the millennials. I mean, here's the thing is I had a music video I did a couple of years ago called Jazz Fever, which is a black and white 1920s jazz music video. And my friend, a guy I worked with at Robot Chicken, Zeb, it was a very funny guy, was like, you could not pay a teenager to watch Jazz Fever. And so, you know, we just kind of do what feels funny to us. And if millennials like it, good.
I wondered how that sentence was going to end. I thought it was going to be with, I'll be amazed.
And if millennials like it, they're dorks like I am.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Before we go, Rachel, tonight's episode, 8 o'clock on the CW.
Yes.
You have already released a clip of the new song, I Give Good Parent,
yeah,
which is hilarious.
Thank you.
What's going on tonight? What should people look for?
So Rebecca has gotten herself invited to the object of her affection, Josh, his family Thanksgiving. And she is very excited to impress his parents and blow his girlfriend, Valencia, who hates Rebecca, out of the water. And I want to add that inadvertently, because because the guy who plays Josh is Filipino, we believe that this is the first time a Filipino family has been shown on American comedy television.
What? That's crazy.
Prove me wrong. I hope someone will prove me wrong, but I think this is the first time an American television comedy has shown a Filipino family. So that was really exciting. We have the brilliant Amy Hill playing Lourdes, Josh's mother, and I'm very proud of this episode.
By the way, Rachel, way hotter than Valencia, just so you know.
Oh!
I know that you're trying to set it up to be some sort of how can he be with her instead of me, but you're ridiculously hot compared to Valencia, and I mean that sincerely.
That's like, well, thank you. Gabrielle Ruiz, who plays Valencia, is a gorgeous woman, and every
She's
time
fine.
I see her, I have to hug her and just stroke her lovely hair, so... Thank you.
That hair and those legs. I mean, I'm not complaining about her. Don't get me wrong. Let's not get crazy here, but I'm saying you still win. All right?
Oh, well, that's very sweet. Rebecca thanks you.
The show is called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend tonight and every Monday at 8 on the CW. Let's hear it for Rachel Bloom stopping back by the Kevin Beach Show. Hey, we'll see you in 2 years.
Okay, see you in 2 years.
Come on. One of the all-time great rock and roll voices in history, Chris Cornell, right there with Audio Slave. Chris is going to be playing night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 on Sunday, December 13th at the Forum. Whatever the price is going to be, it's going to be worth it just to see Chris Cornell at the Forum, right?
Wait, what was that?
I'm just saying, however much this ticket costs, it's going to be worth it just to see him.
Yes.
And then you throw in Fall Out Boy and Panic at the Disco and the 1975 and Cold War Kids and so much more. It's going to be a great night. 22 bands spread across 2 nights at the Forum. Get your details at krock.com. Make sure you're a Street Team member so you can buy tickets when they go on sale this Friday at noon. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Because it is Monday. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And as expected, the James Bond movie Spectre, starring Daniel Craig, dominated the weekend's box office again. Thanks to, well, it being great, and thanks to a lack of other big-name movies. $35.4 million made it number one. Boy, that register's just going off.
A lot of money. Spectre just bringing it in, man.
The Peanuts movie, $24.2 million made it number two. Love the Coopers, the brand-new film about a dysfunctional family at Christmas. Isn't that just a family at Christmas?
Right.
$8.4 million in its debut, made it number three, then The Martian, and The 33, the tale of the Chilean miners, $5.8 million in its debut.
I'm not hearing great things about that, by the way, about The 33.
I haven't heard anything about it, but I can't imagine, as closely as we all follow that story on the news, that you could go into a film for 2 hours and suspend your disbelief knowing what the outcome's going to be, right?
Right.
Kind of sucks the drama out of it. Goosebumps is sixth. Bridge of Spies, Prem Ratan Dhan Peo, $2.4 million in its debut. That's a Bollywood film. The Hotel Transylvania 2 and The Last Witch Hunter, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office. It's not easy being a single woman in Hollywood.
Right.
Just ask Selena Gomez. But I'm guessing Selena Gomez has it considerably easier than Ally McKay does.
I'm right here.
TMZ.com reports that she had listed her home in Calabasas, California. She's selling it because of an annoying stalker. And Before you ask, no, it wasn't Bean.
How dare you? I was thinking Dave.
Someone showed up at her place twice right after she purchased it a year and a half ago, and she's had to dial 911 on three different occasions. But she's heading out on tour for most of 2016, so she's putting that home up for sale. Bad mojo. If you're interested, the place has plenty of room to spread out. It's got 7,700 square feet of space.
Wow.
It will set you back a paltry 4.5 mil if you'd like to pick up Selena Gomez's home.
Wow.
She's eight, and she was on Disney, and she's got a home that costs $4.5 million. Come on.
I think she's like 20, right?
Right. If she's 12, if she's a day.
Yeah. She's done all right for herself.
Scott Disick. I know we don't do any more Kardashian news on this show for the most part, but I was just so proud to hear that Scott Disick, according to TMZ.com, he is clean and sober and has a job. He's got a new job. He is the spokesperson for the Dollar Beard Club. Congratulations,
what?
Scott. I'm finally, he's got a real job. He's the spokesperson for the Dollar Beard Club.
Is that different than the Dollar Shave Club?
I have no idea. But apparently he's the spokesman for their new line of oils, waxes, balms, and combs. Finally, he's got a comb line. Maybe he can get together with Rob Kardashian, who's got a sock line, and they can just sell socks and combs by the freeway off-ramps.
By the way, who hires Scott Disick? Like, what positive association can Scott Disick bring to your brand?
Listen, if you're a fan of the Dollar Beard Club, you've already got bigger problems than who the spokesperson is. You hipster douchebag.
I don't get how Scott Disick is on anyone's list of, hey, let's pay this guy money to represent our product.
Have you seen his beard?
Okay, I guess not.
It's luxurious.
All right.
He puts oils in it, and he combs it, and there's waxes. And I can't even. It's the end times. We got nothing, people.
I am unable to even. I have lost my ability to even. I am so unable to even.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yes. All of those evens, plus some. And let me send you on your way with a good story about the great Frank Sinatra, a legend, a personal hero of mine, and an icon. Burt Reynolds has got a new book out called But Enough About Me. It's his autobiography. But Enough About Me. See, that's funny.
Cute.
Anyway, he's got a great story in there about Frank Sinatra. He was having dinner at the legendary Nikki Blair's restaurant in Los Angeles. So Sinatra's there with his entourage, his group of lackeys, and he invites Burt Reynolds to a poker game in the kitchen after they finish eating. Cool, right?
Right.
Sure.
So Frank starts the game. They're all playing cards in the kitchen, and a busboy drops a tray of glasses. So Nikki Blair, the owner of the restaurant, just screams at this kid, dresses him down, embarrasses him in front of everyone. And that made Frank very upset. So he asked Nikki how much the glassware cost. Nikki said he wasn't sure. Frank tells one of his boys to count out $3,000 in cash. He slaps it into Nikki's hands and tells him to bring him $300,000 worth of glass to the table. Then Frank calls over the busboy, Hector, who dropped the tray. Frank tells Hector, smash all these glasses on the floor. Hector followed his orders. Then Frank turned to Nikki Blair and said, if I ever come in here and I don't see Hector working, I will never come back.
Oh, dreamy.
How great is that?
You want to have Frank Sinatra on your side.
Yes, you do. If you're
and
a busboy.
You do not want to be on the opposite of Frank Sinatra's
no.
side.
No. Burt says he got up from the poker table and walked away. And Frank Sinatra said, where the hell are you going? And Burt Reynolds said, I'm going home. I've got my Frank Sinatra story. So apparently that book will be out tomorrow, and I'm going to read it just so I can read that story again.
Frank had a very particular way of how he thought things should be done,
yes.
How people should be treated, and what was appropriate.
And by all accounts, always stuck up for the little guy, because he never forgot what it was like to be a poor kid. In
or killed the little guy, one or the other.
Right,
one of those two
things. Depending on whether you earned it or not. Look, if Hector had dropped a glass of red wine on Frank's shirt, he would have been murdered.
He'd be dead.
Right.
Yeah.
But because the glassware was elsewhere, he was spared. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mark Helgenberger is 57 years old today. Actress Missy Pyle turns 43. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 38 years old. And Saturday Night Live's Pete Davidson, celebrates 22 years. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Tomorrow we have your good friend Alex Borstein joining us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Love AB.
She, of course, is Lois Griffin on Family Guy. She's one of the stars of Getting On HBO, which is a great show, by the way. And she's part of Love the Coopers. So Alex will be joining us tomorrow. And she lives on the same island as I do, which is a bizarre coincidence, right?
Oh, my God. Do you guys also canoe to work together?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you canoe to work together?
No, we don't. Oh, another trip to Las Vegas brought to you by Creed the Movie. That'll be coming up on tomorrow's show. And by the way, we didn't mention it today because we were very busy with the Acoustic Christmas announcement. But can I just put in one quick plug before we go?
Plug away.
Be Miss Double December 2016. The deadline is the end of the show this Friday morning. Go to krock.com right now. You got to be 21 or over. Fill out the form there. Send a couple of photos of yourself, and then wait for our call to see if you make the top 10. Yes. It is the most wonderful time of the year, and I feel like we've dropped the ball on spreading the word.
Yes, a little less fancy pants music shows, a little more bikinis. Okay,
I agree.
Thank you.
The Miss Double December crowning is going to be once again this year with our friends at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Make plans to come out and join us in person to see the pageant. That's going to be on Friday morning, December 4th. And ladies, we would very much like you to represent the Kevin and Bean Show throughout all of next year. In fact, you get to start the weekend of December 12th when you win tickets to both nights of Acoustic Christmas. Then you get April Foolishness next year and the Weenie Roast and the Breakfast With and the Singles Party. Everything that we do, you get to be a part of. So please, if you got what it takes, go to krock.com for all the details. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.